800-600.
Love Talk Radio.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Gary Alden. About the election about that big issue facing Congress. That so-called
Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll-free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
I'm here. It's Friday, and you know I love for us to get through a day and just have some fun. Ha ha, laugh, hee hee, laugh. You know, hi guys. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. It's 9 minutes after the hour of 12 noon, and at it is open mic. Today's Friday. You know, somebody call in with a jokey joke or something. You know, we need to laugh a little. We need to, you know, the election is over. We've got some serious issues coming up. I know we're going to talk about President Obama. He's coming on at 1 o'clock or 1:05 or whenever he decides. And more than likely, I'm going to play it live. So we're going to do that. You know, Boehner last night says Obamacare is law and they're not going to fight it any longer. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit. But if somebody can call me in with like a humorous story, something that's going to like crack my side, make me laugh till I cry, you know, I'm out doing preparing and getting ready to collect goods, and so those of you who do not know, I am in through the radio program here, the radio stations here, through the Republican Party over in Boardman and IGA and various organizations throughout the valley. I am on a quest to collect canned goods, non-perishable items, hand warmers, food. Blankets, new blankets, batteries, to take up to New Jersey next week. FEMA has dropped the ball. People have no idea how bad they've dropped the ball. There are still, I think, hundreds of thousands of people without power in both New Jersey and New York, and we're going to go help. And we are all Americans. Whether you agree or disagree, whether you like or not like the politics of America, we can't allow our focus to get so far off track that we forget about the human life and the human spirit. And not going to see about these people, not taking care of these people, we are no better than what they said about Katrina. But we'll get to that, too. But if anybody has a joke that we can laugh and talk for a little while, the number here is 347-945-5229, because, you know, I just want to have a jokey joke, you know? Just want to crack my side, you know, have a light day. We haven't had a light day in so long. We don't even know how to do light. So if anybody knows anything, the number is 347-945-5229. Hey, Chicago, how you doing, honey?
I'm good, Tracy. How are you?
Good. You got a joke?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I just saw in the news that in the Englewood area at Kenyon King College, all these black folks was waiting in line for a job fair, and it was no job fair. They got their hope.
Listen, I heard that, and see, that ain't a joke. That
didn't
make me laugh. Listen,
they got there and they gave them flyers saying they can go to some website or something that with the city jobs, but that stuff they already knew about. So,
we have to. You're supposed to tell me a joke where I could laugh.
It is.
That ain't funny. That's sad.
Well, it's funny at the same time because it just shows you the brains.
These people are crazy.
Well, it shows you the brains of blacks today.
Listen, we do not understand. Americans and people are not understanding that this is not a football game. This is not a popularity contest. There are some major issues facing the United States of America, and I'm looking forward to hearing what President Obama has to say. You know, I understand he's and I pray that he does not come out there cocky and arrogant, saying I won and America said this is the way they want to go. I'm hoping that he ran to the left and he governs from the center, because I do not want to see America be worse off than what it is. And I mean that.
Well, I think we headed there because $16 trillion worth of debt. There's no way you're going to be able to pay that back with interest whoever you're paying this interest back to, the China or whoever that prints your money and wants interest back. But it's no way you're going to be able to pay that back. No increase in jobs here in America. It's going to continue to be a decrease in manufacturing jobs here in America because that's what globalist people want. So it's going to continue to get worse.
I don't think we are, because I'm serious. After the reelection of President Obama, and I'm reading from the Washington Post today. Coal company CFO reads prayer to staff and announces layoffs. And it's my understanding that there have been several companies in the last couple of days that have laid a lot of people off. This we're going to have to take a serious look at our choices. And as President Obama said, and I will quote him, he said, you know, choices have consequences. And so we're really, really going to have to make do you understand where I'm coming from? You're supposed to call in here with a joke.
Energizer,
a St. Louis-based company, said Thursday it expects to lay off 1,500 employees. Westinghouse and Aniston, the contractor, said that they're going to lay off another 50. Research in Motion, which is BlackBerry, they said they're going to lay off another 200 people. Lightyear Network Solutions said that they're going to be laying off. Providence Journal Company laid off 23 full-time workers Wednesday as a cost-cutting effort. Hacker Ben Beechcraft, I don't even know what some of these people do. They're out of Little Rock, Arkansas, Mesa, Arizona, and San Antonio, Texas. They're going to lay off 240. CVPH, Medical Center, they're going to lay off 17. U.S. Cellular is going to cut 980 jobs in the Chicago area. 12% of the approximately 8,400 total employees of U.S. Cellular had to end in the third quarter. Momentum Performance Materials, they're going to cut 150 workers. Rocketdyne, they're going to lay off. A 100 employees. Brake Parts, they're going to lay off 75 workers. Vista Wind, this is all happening in the last. And I want you to know, guess what? I'm not done with my list. Vista Wind Systems, they're going to lay off 20% of their 3,000 employee base. Husqvarna, which is they do sewing machines. They're going to cut 600 jobs. A Center for Hospice in New York said that they're going to temporarily lay off 40 employees. Bristol Myers is going to lay off almost 480 employees. OCE North America, they're going to lay off 135 employees. Darden Restaurants, Red Lobster, they're going to cut all. They're going to cut everyone down to 28 hours per week. That's not a good sign of what you call recovery.
Obama's moving forward.
West Ridge Mine said they're going to policies and that will close, and 204 American coal-fired plants. So they're going to be shutting down completely, and United Blood Service Golf, they're going to lay off 10% of their workforce. That's not a good sign. So what? You got a joke?
No, I don't have any jokes, Tracy. You know, jokes to me come naturally. I can't, you know, just come up with anything. Like,
you're supposed to have a joke. You know, why did the chicken cross the room to get to the other side or something? You know, Big Bird has got a job, though. What happened with Jesse Jackson yesterday? Did they come to any resolve, or did they move it to the next one?
I didn't hear anything else about him.
I'm just not getting it. I'm not getting why we're not paying attention to what is going on in our community. And I was talking to someone put in my Facebook page this morning. They said there were precincts in Cuyahoga County that they were 100% for Barack Obama. And I said, well, I'm not surprised by that. Are you? I don't think that's fraud. I think that's real.
Well, the American public, and particularly the black people in America, feels that they work for the politicians, and the politicians don't work for them or represent them. So when you're looking at in a black perspective, that means that they're living underneath a dictatorship.
Do you think that they will become? President Obama is going to speak at 105 somewhere around there today from the East Garden or something on that order in reference to what's going to happen with the Bush tax cuts. Do you think that he's going to come out in a conciliatory mindset, or do you think he's going to come out and say, "This is where America, this is what America wanted, this is what America has, and this is what I'm going to do"?
I don't know, Teresa. I don't know. I guess we'll see. Whatever they want him to do, he's going to do. So if they tell him don't implicate the continued attack, so that's what he's going to do. I mean, my mind is different. I see it differently.
But it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt a lot of businesses.
Well, Obamacare is going to hurt a lot of businesses. You just read a list there that people are not going to hire and they're laying off people, so that's going to continue.
But you can't make it if we're not working. You can't pay taxes if you're not working. You know that, right?
Uh-huh. Okay.
And the problem that we have is there are too many people who are not working, and they're taking from the system, and not enough people working putting into the system.
That's why they turn a lot of these manufacturing places into FEMA camps. Because what are they going to do with the people?
Well, they're telling me FEMA ain't even on their job out there trying to help the people.
Uh-huh.
They tell me FEMA packing up and moving on, and people are just stuck.
Uh-huh.
What happened to no red tape? We're going to do all that we can want to do for these people.
Yeah, put them on a train and send them to the FEMA camps.
There ain't no FEMA camp. FEMA's in trouble. I'm just saying, and I'm not, and this is no slap against anyone. I'm just saying, we've got some serious fish to fry, and nobody wants to cut him open and tell the truth about what's going on because he stinks. Hey, Stanley, how you doing?
Hey, how are you, Tracy?
Good.
Did you hear about what Obama and the president of the House are trying to do? Basically, Obama's saying he wants to sit down with him and find a way to resolve the deficit that we're having, the problem that we're having.
Yeah, Boehner said last night, I brought it up, Boehner said last night that he is going to, you know, Obamacare is the law and he's not going to fight it anymore in the House. We're going to shift their focus over to what's important right now, and they do not want us to go off the fiscal cliff. But what I'm saying to everyone, do we understand that we're not paying attention? Because this cliff is serious, and people are laying people off. Businesses are cutting. So if businesses are cutting, you don't have to worry about paying taxes anyhow.
They're cutting why? Because of Obamacare, or they're cutting because they're scared of what? Why are they cutting? That's what I want to
know. What? I think it's a little bit of both. And then we've got other small businesses that are concerned about how much money the unions President Obama received from the unions and what he's going to have to pay them.
Okay, but
for the
I
money
want to
that
ask
he received.
I want to ask a question because I don't understand why you're. Okay, if you're a small business owner and Obamacare comes in, what happens with you? Do you need to pay more money? Suddenly pay $200,000? What is so much so scary for small business? I'm a small business owner, and Obamacare comes tomorrow. What happens?
Obamacare, listen, do you realize that when you go to work for someone, that when you pay someone $10 an hour, it's somewhere around $16 an hour, almost even with no benefits.
Okay.
Okay. And so you have to pay taxes on the people that you hire. You have Social Security, you have matching taxes, you've got state taxes, you've got all these taxes about for each employee that you hire.
Okay.
If you have more than 50 employees, you have to have, it's a mandated, if I'm not mistaken, a mandated insurance that you have to carry for them now.
Okay.
So that $16 that you pay in taxes and for those employees, it's going to jump up depending on what your medical pool looks like. Because, see, your premiums for medical, it can be, if I'm healthy and you're diabetic and Chicago has MS, your premium can be astronomical based upon, you know, just the situations of your employees. And if you have more than 50 employees, you must carry medical benefits for them. That takes your hourly rate up to $20-$25 an hour, if not more. A lot of small businesses can't afford that.
So you're saying because of Obamacare, it's going to be more expensive, the health care issue, compared to if it was an insurance?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Why? But the Obamacare was done to make sure that it was less expensive.
No, it was said that it was made sure that you would be less expensive. But
so
they did not. Hold on, you asked me the question, Stanley. They did not regulate. They did, Stanley.
Compared to insurance,
because you did not regulate the insurance companies. You did not. They did not do this in a common sense point of view. They did this in a very, very bureaucratic point of view, and it's not. It's going to be bad. It's going to be bad.
Okay, wait. Are you saying it's going to be more expensive because insurance, let's say it costs, I don't know, $50 for a medication, you're saying that it'll cost $75 with Obamacare. The question I want to ask you, why is it going to cost $75 instead of costing, I don't know, $25?
Because they didn't deal with, you have to realize, they didn't deal with the health, they didn't deal with the insurance companies, they just dealt with the small businesses. You follow me what I'm saying? See, what they didn't do is they dealt with the average day person, which is good, but they didn't deal with the people that have to pay it. And when you don't, it's just like crack cocaine and powder cocaine. That was the dumbest law in the world that made crack cocaine, 6 years and powder cocaine 6 months. And for people to allow it to happen. When you make laws and you don't look at the law in 365 degree view and look at it completely, just because it sounds good, you can't just let things go by. And that's what happened with Obamacare. People need to be insured, but they should, and I keep on saying this, they should have gone after the insurance companies. Not after the healthcare system, not after the people.
But Tracy, do you know that we're 37 in the world when it comes to healthcare? So we do have a problem. We're not the best healthcare.
I never said we didn't have a problem. I've told you guys, I'm uninsurable. When they tell me they want a premium from me, I pass out. So I'm just gonna have to die on my feet because I'm not paying that. But now it's mandatory that I carry it, no matter what it costs me.
So what would have been the solution? Because
I said this again, and I'll continue to say it. They should have gone after the insurance companies. Right now, when you look at your car insurance, for those of people that have cars out there, if something happens, I mean, you are held hostage by the insurance companies. You pay your bill. They go up when they want to. They act like you've got forgiveness if you hit somebody, but everybody doesn't have forgiveness. But if you got forgiveness, you got to pay for somebody else's forgiven car. They come up with all these sound bites and all these things that sound good, but when the deal goes down and you need to go and call them,
not only do you pay your deductible, but you pay for accidentally getting in a fender bender, if, even if you have not been in an accident in all the time you've been with your insurance company. And we pay for it. You get a speeding ticket. You go, you know, anything that goes on, they come after you, and they, you pay the speeding ticket, and the insurance premium goes up. They don't ask you, were you in a hurry trying to get to the hospital? They don't ask you anything. Oh, they say, you got a ticket. Oh, you got stopped. Let me help you out here. Oh, you accidentally hit something, and nobody got hurt, and it's going to cost you $900 to fix it. I got to pay $500 deductible, and then you're going to go up on my insurance premium. That doesn't make sense. And the American electorate is the one who pays. That's why when we go to work, we don't have any money when we get done with our paycheck. Today's Friday. There are a lot of people that are going to get paid today. And by Monday, they will have as much money as they had yesterday. And it's not because they drank it up. Am I wrong?
No.
Chicago? Am I wrong? Hey, Stanley, you got your mic and a hose. Stanley?
Yes.
Your mic is in a hose. Let me take a break and call me back because I can't hear you. You got a bad feedback going. Hey, you're listening to Tracy and Friends. It is open mic today. The number is 347-945-5229. Please don't forget that we are doing a non-perishable food drive. And you can drop off your non-perishable foods, new blankets, batteries and hand warmers and those types of things. And you can drop them off at the Mahoning County Republican Party. You can drop them off at Fifth Family in Austin Town, which is on 46. You can drop them off at IGA, Nimmons IGA in Struthers and in Lincoln Old Plaza. You can drop them off at Charlie Staples on the corner of Belmont and Rand in Youngstown, Ohio. You can drop them off at Ryan's Chair over on Glenwood Avenue. We want to hear from you. Please come out and help us with this endeavor. It is going to, we're going to leave out of here on Friday. We're going to drop this stuff with the Salvation Army of New Jersey, and then we're going to turn around and come back home and tell you how things are, because it's my understanding from talking to people that I know that are there, it's not nice. It's not good. It's getting cold out. It's snowing out. It's wet out, and people are still suffering, and we need people to help people. We can't wait on the government to do what they think the government ought to do. So if we're going to work together and we're going to stand together, then we need to do this together. So please come out and help. If you want to make a financial donation, you can do that, and you can make your checks payable to the Salvation Army of New Jersey. And we're going to give you more information. I'll be talking about this pretty much all next week. And telling you how things are going. I need transportation. I need people to go with me. I need help. Need people to load up the truck. I need whatever assistance that we can get. We're going to come together and make this happen and go and help people out, because I would want somebody to come and help me. We'll see you on the other side of my break.
Do you depend on your computer? Then you know that a virus on your computer is bad news. But there is something you can do. Just call this number. 330-759-9700. That's 330-759-9700. That's the number for Ambassador Technologies in Liberty Township. Ambassador Technologies specializes in virus removal and restores your computer to full performance. We also specialize in computer repair, from desktops, laptops, laptop screens, laptop power supplies, laptop batteries, and hardware updates. And when your business needs networking, Ambassador Technologies is the place to go. Ambassador Technologies, Youngstown's best for computer repair, networking, website development, and even low-cost business cards and publishing. Call Ambassador Technologies at 330-759-9700. Online at ambastech.com. That's ambastech.com.
Mark LaVoy, WSOM News. A grand jury in Mahoning County has indicted Brandon Hosa, who is accused of being the getaway driver in a burglary that ended in the death of his partner. Michael Sparrow was shot to death by a homeowner while allegedly breaking into a house on October 30th. Hossa is charged with murder because of his alleged participation in a crime that ended in homicide. A Newton Falls man has been sentenced to 8 years in prison for possessing pornography that involved babies as young as 3 months. 39-year-old Paul Bidwell entered a guilty plea yesterday to 17 counts. He will have to register with authorities every 180 days for the next 25 years. And the number of meningitis cases linked to a national outbreak related to recalled steroid injections has dropped from 16 to 15 in Ohio. The state health department says a 28-year-old woman in Marion County no longer meets the definition of this type of meningitis. You're up to date. I'm Mark Lavoie, WSOM News.
The Curiosity Shop, located in Canfield, Ohio, on Route 224, is an upscale consignment shop with downtown charm and fashion-forward taste. A women's clothing and accessory store that offers carefully selected items with friendly service in a boutique-like atmosphere. The Curiosity Shop is never overcrowded and always a great shopping experience. Ann Klein, Escada, Liz Claiborne, Ann Taylor, Dana Buckman, and more. From petite to full figure, the Curiosity Shop is the place for you. Open Tuesday through Friday from 10 to 6, Saturday 10 to 4. Located on Route 224 in the Hilltop Village Plaza next to McDonald's in Canfield. It's fashion on a budget. It's the Curiosity Shop.
On your computer, your iPhone, your Android, your Xbox. Use them all to listen to News Talk 600. Visit iHeartRadio.com.
The Northeast Ohio Ford dealers, Cumulus Radio of Youngstown, and the Rotary Clubs of Boardman and Poland want to make a difference this fall by partnering with Operation Warm. This organization strives to provide new coats to children in communities across the nation. Our goal this year is to donate 1,500 brand new coats for kids in our area to keep them warm this season. Coats will be distributed by the local Salvation Army. If you would like to contribute to Operation Warm and Coats for Kids, you'll find more info at the Ford dealer's website, drive1ohio.com.
If you have a parent entering a nursing home, are the executor of an estate, or just need a will, this message is for you. The Law Office of J.M. Shade is able to help you make the right choices to ensure that you and your family are protected. Call us toll-free, 866-606-6187. Again, 866-606-6187. Or see our site for more information at jmselderlaw.com. jmselderlaw.com. Estate planning made simple.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600, and we are here in Youngstown, Ohio, and I want to hear from you today. The number, again, is 347-945-5229, and it is open mic. I'm going to start off this segment by talking about, Facebook is, I post things in there, and people jump on me, and they don't understand that sometimes I'm posting because I don't have time to read them, and I want to read them later, and I get beat up. I want to take a look at them. I want to research them. I'm just rambling for a moment. But there's a young lady on here who wrote a prayer in reference to the President of the United States of America. And she says, pray that God will dismantle the power of Congress that stands against him to cause confusion. I need to say that just because I disagree with you doesn't mean I'm totally against you as a person. Somehow the American people have come to the resolve that if I disagree with you wholeheartedly, that means that I have something personally against you. And that's not how this works. The reason why you have the branches of government in equal power, the reason why you have things laid out the way they are, is so that you have the differences of opinion and come to a consensus. And if egos get in the way on either side, it causes for confusion. if you come out and tell me I won and you lost and this is how it's going to be, then you've already shut down the baseline for open and honest communication within each other or to each other. We need to understand that. We need to understand that, you know, I will never call. Tracy Windlish, will never call homosexuality normal. So no matter how you bring it to me, on what kind of platter you bring it to me, on how you, however you want to give yourself this to, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to tell you that screwing around and having babies outside of wedlock is okay. I am a product of a single mom who was not married to my dad. I'm still going to tell you it's still wrong how I got here. Like it, love it, it is what it is. I am going to tell you that. And no matter how you slice it, no matter how you make it up and put it and make it pretty, I'm not going to tell you that it's okay. And again, I said, I am a product of it. Why is it that we will not stand up for what we know and then come with a consensus of it? But I will say this, I believe that people, no matter how they get here, should be welcome and loved. I think a child, when she is born, no matter how that child is born, that child should be brought into your home and taken care of, treated fairly with respect. I believe that people, if you want to love the same gender, if that's your flavor of the day, that's your business. I'm not going to call you normal, but I'm going to respect you. I think that you ought not be abused. I don't think people ought to do anything to you. I don't think anyone ought to come out and hate you for it. I don't think none of that. I think that if you want to leave all your worldly goods to your dog, and if you want to sleep with your dog, that's your business. But I'm not going to tell you that I am going to say it's normal, because I'm not. And we need to come to the resolve that it's okay to disagree. Because as I read her praying this prayer, are you not praying? You're praying that Speaker Boehner be truthful and really work with the president, not against him, but if he says he don't like him, and then you need to understand that we are being manipulated by the media. Because if the media was honest, they would tell you all sides of the equation, but they're not doing that because they don't want you to know that. Because as long as they tell you, they manipulate you. And as long as they keep you ignorant, you are oblivious to what's really going on around you. And we need for the people who are listening to our program to wake up and say, you know what? I'm going to take things at face value. And I'm going to research some things. And I'm going to look behind some things. And I'm not going to cast judgment even if I disagree. I need to tell all my white folks out there, yes, there can be precincts in a black neighborhood where they vote for President Obama 100%. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Because it is not about a race per se, it is about a mindset. Yes, you can live in the inner city and everybody in the whole room, in the whole neighborhood, vote for that one guy. That must be voter fraud. No, that ain't voter fraud. That's mindset, and that's what you call manipulation. That's not fraud. You know, people that do fraudulent things don't think that far down the chain. Fraud happens on a larger scale. Fraud does not happen when they come down to one precinct. It doesn't work that way. And in the inner city, yes, you can have precincts all over this country, just like you can have little pockets, because when you look at the map is all red with little spots of blue, and still win an election. I said it out loud. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. And Keith Fukushima just sent me a text and asked me, have I recovered from Tuesday? I want you guys to know, I went to sleep Tuesday night, and I woke up Wednesday morning, and as long as I have the faculties of my limbs, as long as I can see and breathe and my family's okay, things are going to be good because my faith is not in the government. My faith and my belief is in God. And that's who is the source of my supply, and that's who I trust. I operate inside of this government because God has given me dominion in it and over it. But my faith is not built on the system. Because even if the system's broke, I still believe God can do what he said he would do. And he said that he would take care of me and mine. Do I hate that Governor Romney lost? Yes, I would have liked to have seen him as president of the United States. He didn't win. It's over. Now we move on. We've got bigger fish to fry. Because right now we've got some issues coming up. President Obama's going to be speaking at 105. And he's going to be talking about this fiscal cliff that we are up against, because this fiscal cliff is going to affect you in ways that you never thought you could be affected. You'll be like, well, it's not my business, I don't care, and they're going to let you know just how much of your business is. And if you're not careful, you're going to really hate that things are a mess. Because if they let those Bush tax cuts expire at the end of this year, you're going to feel it. And you're going to bring less money home and pay more for bread. It is what it is. Hey, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM. It's open mic today, and I want to hear from you. I see you guys chatting in the chat room. 746, you're on air.
Yes.
Hi.
Huh?
Hi, how are you?
All right. Okay, I got a question.
Sure.
Do you get a fax from Fox News?
Man, I don't even watch Fox News.
Huh?
I don't even watch Fox News.
You don't watch Fox News?
No, sir, I do not.
But you sound just like them.
But I don't watch. I kid you not. I would not lie to you. I do not watch Fox News.
Oh, okay. Well, see, what I don't understand, especially about you.
Okay.
Being born black in America.
Okay.
At one point in time, 100% of black folks voted Republican.
Mm-hmm.
There was a reason why they left the Republican Party.
Mm-hmm.
That's when those conservatives, that was all slave owners,
all right,
went over to the Republican Party.
Okay.
They started that stuff during the 40s, the 50s. Like my grandmother and my grandfather and them and my mother and them was all Republicans and everything. But then they started switching during the 40s and everything. When those Dixiecrats that came from the other side where the Democrats had, and they was all conservatives.
That's not why the
conservatives are some of the worst people in the world.
No,
always have been.
No. Hold on. No, wait a minute. Hold on. No, let's get this straight. So let me tell you about Tracy. Tracy is a black Republican.
I know that.
I am a conservative in my thinking of spending, but I'm not a conservative as it was in the 40s. That's a difference. There's a difference there. That's a term that has been vilified, but it's not who I am. Because I know I'm black. I know I'm black more than most black folks know they black.
No, but you don't sound like it, though.
I know, but see, you want me to
sound
like...
You don't sound like you know you're black.
No, see, you want me to sound like they've told us to sound.
No. They ain't told us nothing. No, they
have
nothing now.
Yes, they have. You want me to tell you how? Because, see, because when I look at the pockets, and I'm going to do, as soon as I find some time or some money that I can pay somebody to do this, when I look at the pockets of where President Obama overwhelmingly won, there are a couple things that I can show you. I can show you that there's a high crime rate. I can show you that there is a low educational attainment. I can show you that there's minimal economic development. And I can show you unequivocally that there is a mindset that has made us dependent upon a system and not on ourselves.
No, there you're wrong again.
No,
you're
not
all wrong.
No, no.
Number one, the mindset that I grew up.
Uh-huh.
Nobody in my family has ever been on welfare or anything like that. I have five kids. Three of them has went to college and finished.
Okay.
They got two doctor's degrees and one master's degree.
Mm-hmm.
And I got two kids that went to tech school, like.
Okay.
And everything. They're all doing good.
Okay.
We have never been on welfare, none of that stuff.
I didn't mention welfare out of my mouth.
But that's what the Republicans love to talk about.
No,
welfare,
that's not what I said.
Stamps.
That's not what I said.
See?
That's not what I said. But do you live in the city of Youngstown?
Huh? Yeah, I live in
the
city
of
Youngstown.
City? Okay. What side of town do you live on?
I live on Southside. I've stayed here. I've lived
hold
on,
Southside. Hold on, hold on, hold on. Hold up. I live on the east side.
Yeah, I know. I know where you live at.
Do you cringe when you look at your neighborhood?
No.
Why?
Because my neighborhood is all right. You know, we
no,
have some bad stuff over here. You know what I mean? But
no.
You know, like I said.
No. Come on, Doc. When you go down Hillman, you go, because you might live over in the park. So I give you.
No,
that.
I don't live in the park.
Oh. Okay, so let me say this. Do you see? I've gone to 2 funerals in the last 3 years of black men in coffins that shouldn't be dead.
What now? What'd you say?
I've been to two funerals in the last 3 years.
Yeah.
Of young black men.
Yeah.
That shouldn't be dead.
Those are fools.
No, he didn't. No. Who was the fool? My nephew who went out to buy a beer and got shot on the way down in Glenwood, or the one who they just shot 3 weeks ago and put 5 bullets in the middle in front of witnesses and they won't tell nobody because everybody's scared?
But that has
and broad daylight.
No. Number one, you let somebody do something over here where I live at, the police is going to know it, period.
Oh, know that. Mm-hmm.
See, they're going to know it and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And most of my friends are the same way. We listen to you. We don't understand where you was raised at.
Was,
you know, there, a lot of stuff.
I was raised. Hold on.
Not my fault.
I was raised on the Sharon line.
Okay, but no, that ain't what I'm talking about. I know where you was raised. I know I always raised that. That ain't what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about, a lot of stuff, man, and everything is not our fault. Period.
And it ain't our fault.
How this stuff is going on now and everything. Just like I got a daughter living in Canfield. Okay.
Whose fault is it? Yeah.
Okay. The original white man, that's whose fault it is. If
the original white man makes me pick up a gun
when
and
slavery
shoot.
Was over with, if he had done something, they, remember, at one time, we weren't allowed to learn how to read or write. Remember, it was a federal law and everything if you taught a black person how to read and write.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and everything, see? Okay, if they had taught us how to read and write, put us on an equal foot. See, I can go along with a lot of stuff that you talk about, hear you and Jeff talk about, if everything was equal.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's ain't never been equal, and
it ain't never
going to
be equal.
I don't care how much we tried. They used to run that school stuff on you back in the 20s and 30s and all that stuff. You get an education. When blacks got education, they still got kicked back because the color of their skin.
Listen, I know that, but the question is today, what we doing now?
It's still the same thing. The only difference now between the white man and the white man now, he has a master's degree or a doctor's degree, and he wears suits and ties. That's the only difference.
Wait a minute, America has not changed from 1776. You mean to tell me the reason why I buried my cousin a week and a half ago is because of what?
They're doing the same thing that the Irish did. No, hold it. They're doing the same thing the Irish did. The Italians did, and everything.
No, they're not.
The only difference is, this time of year, it's the blacks doing it.
No,
and
they don't.
As soon as some of these fools get and realize what they're doing, it'll be just like everything. Everybody going to big business. Everybody will try to be all of a sudden clean the money up. And
no, they're not.
Make it look
shit. Come on, dude.
That's
you
it.
Know.
That's the way it is.
Listen, you can't tell me you got an all-black city council and you had black mayors. You had an all-black school board, and your kid's still walking across the stage and not graduating. Help me out.
Well, no. That has nothing to do with it. A black mayor and a black city council has nothing to do with it. This stuff is being done from up high.
How high do you want to go?
And like I said, the mayor.
You got a black president.
That don't mean nothing. He can't do nothing because the Republicans will not let him do nothing. They won't let him create no jobs. They won't let him do nothing.
Are you serious?
Yes, John Boehner and them and Mitch McConnell and all them, they planned this thing from the day he got elected to make him fail.
Listen here,
and you going right along with it.
That's not how this works.
And you going right along with it.
I ain't going right along with nothing. Yes, you have no idea.
Tracy, yes, you are. You're going right along with it.
No, sweetheart, I'm trying to tell you something. Y'all won't listen.
No.
You
know,
listen. Listen to what I'm saying. And I'm serious. I tell you what infuriates me to no end. I got old white men on the Republican side that don't listen. And I got black folks in the hood that don't listen. And that irritates me because one thing I do is I care. I care from the bottom of my heart that I care. I care. I care about them and us. And I want us to be better, and I want them to understand who we are. And right now, we are being pimped and bamboozled by a system. And we think we got something.
No, we're not being
pimped. No, let me finish. We think we got something, and right now we ain't got nothing but fairy dust.
Well, I tell you what, I got more than fairy dust.
You ain't got nothing more than fairy dust.
Yes, I do. Yeah, yes, I do.
No, you don't.
Yes, I
do. No, you don't.
Yeah, yes, I do.
How's your grandbabies doing?
They're doing fine.
You said your kids are doing well.
Yes.
Do you want them to live? Do you want them to be raised in a world that they're going to be in so far debt that they will never own anything?
No, let me explain something to you. My three kids that went to college. Okay, we did this 5-6 years ago, over Thanksgiving dinner. We paid off their student loans and everything. Paid every last one of them. When my daughter bought a house out in Canfield. And everything.
Hold on. Why she moved to Canfield? Why didn't she move into the city?
No. When I went and got her from Atlanta.
No. When she moved back to Youngstown.
When I went and got her from Atlanta, and I come back here and everything, that's where she bought her house at, where she wanted to live at.
No. Why she want to live in Canfield and not live in the city?
Oh, I don't know why she wanted to. I don't care.
Come on, yes, you do.
No, the same reason why everybody else
is moving the heck out of the city.
No, I don't.
And don't nobody buy a house when you buy it, it's going to depreciate just like a car.
No. See, this is it. Let me give you another example on that, what you're talking about. When I moved in here in 1970, we used to fix our house up. Me and my wife used to fix our house up. That's because we were living here, and I could not live in Liberty, Boardman, Canfield, none of them places.
They didn't want
to. No. The first time the white man would have said something to me, and I ain't done nothing to him, I would have been the one in jail because I would have messed him up. See, and I would have messed up for all other black people. I know that. Just like I could not have been somebody to march with Martin Luther King. I could have gave him money to help him, but I could not have marched with him. No way I would take this stuff.
But the stuff President Obama go through.
See, I'd mess up for everything.
You mean to tell me you don't understand why your daughter bought a house in Canfield?
That's what she wanted to live. I don't care. Only thing I ask out of all them.
You?
They don't marry no white man. They don't marry no white man or no white woman.
That's
the only thing I ask.
Ain't that prejudice?
No, I don't care about it being prejudice. I'm prejudiced then. I'll admit that. No, I don't want no white. I don't want no mixed kids. No.
Wow.
I do not want that. And I got a bunch of white friends that think the same way. They don't want their kids to marry no black. I have no problem with that. Just like
and
I got this one white buddy to live in Austintown. Just like I told him, his privilege, white privilege, is through. He's had that for so doggone long and everything. You think you own everything. But that's through. Me and him talk all the time. When he thought the Tea Party, what they was going to do. I told him they finished. And they would see what happened. He thought they was going to win. What all the stuff that they was going to do. I told him, they were through.
They're not finished yet.
And just like I said, I hear these preachers last night on 1440 and Warren talking about the Tea Party going to take over the next 4 years. That's who the Republican Party going to be run by.
Hello?
Hold on, Philadelphia. Hold on, because I'm still trying to get past. We are becoming that which we hate.
And Doc, you from here in Youngstown, huh?
Yeah.
You know what?
I've always lived. I've been living in Youngstown since 1953.
I thought you said something about 70.
No, that's when I bought this house
I live at.
Oh, in 70.
My first four years of school was in a Catholic school. I just got to take it. I got to kick up. Hold on. Don't you go nowhere.
No, I ain't going nowhere.
716, your mic is on.
You know what? That man is ignorant. And that's just it. You could talk to him till you're blue in the face. He'll never change his opinion. I mean, really? It's people like him that make us look bad. And I honestly don't know how you stand it. I really don't. And I know that you give everyone a chance to speak on your show, and I know that you care from the bottom of your heart. I know that you do. But my God, really? It just blows my mind.
Yeah,
that man is ignorant. I mean, I don't even know if he, I mean, does he really even believe what he's saying?
Yes.
You
got to
ask me on the phone.
Yes.
He's on the phone.
I believe it. Because I've seen what this country have done to black folks,
no.
To trick black folks.
No.
You know what?
We have opportunities, and we can go out, and sometimes
we don't have no
hard,
opportunities now.
But we have every opportunity. It's what you do with that opportunity. But people mess around and miss their opportunities. That's their own problem.
Let me tell you something. I ain't missed my opportunity.
Well,
I guarantee you on that.
Well,
and everything. But what I'm saying is how you get treated. They do not care for you. They do not care. They do not care for anybody black, period. Now,
the brown
of your skin or the light of your skin,
you
know better.
But you can't speak for the whole nation that everyone does not care. There are some people
that's
who don't
true.
Care. Some people
hold on,
who
hold on,
never
hold on,
care.
Wait a minute. Maybe I said that wrong.
A lot of people
hold on, bro. Maybe I said that wrong. No, okay, you're right about that. Because there's a lot of good white folks in this country. I know this.
And
we're not
all
talking
Democrat.
About this. There was a lot of good white folks.
Hold up. And they all Democrat, right?
No. Like I said, one of my best friends, he's a stone Republican. And everything.
And he's
white.
And he's
but
a good
he's
guy.
But like I said, basically he's a nice cat.
But
he's
a good
a
guy.
Nice dude.
So let me ask this. Why can't you believe that there are more like him and the media
shows you? They are. No. Don't get me wrong on that. Maybe what I said it like and everything, you would think I meant that. No, I don't. What I'm talking about, the ones that's in control and everything, see, and the one like the Tea Party, like I said, the Tea Party ain't nothing but the Klan with suits and ties on. That's all.
Oh, boy.
That's a lie. That's
no,
a
no,
lie.
No. That's the
no,
truth,
that,
lady.
That's the truth, lady. You don't know anything about Tea Parties.
Don't tell me I don't know nothing about Tea Party.
I know
a whole bunch of them down there in Columbiana County.
There are people who care, who want smaller government, less spending, and want conservative.
Well, I know what you mean smaller government. See, there you go again. Smaller government. I love big government.
You don't know about Tea Parties.
I love big government.
Well, see,
big
government.
In this country, with the amount of people we got and the different nationalities we got and races, you got to have big government.
What?
Yes, you got to have big government.
You know,
hey, listen,
I got to
take a break. Everybody's mic's on. You guys be cordial somewhere along the line. Philadelphia, help me out. Don't overtalk everybody, but let everybody have a conversation. Alex, you're on. Everybody that's on there, I've got to go take my break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM.
Yeah,
I just wanted to say that, you know, I definitely agree with you. A lot of people do not want mixed-race children. So you're definitely not alone in that. And the Tea Party does represent most of the blue-collar whites in America. I don't think it represents the majority of American people. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, I heard someone say something about Columbiana County or Columbiana. Did somebody say that?
Yes, I did.
Did you? So
yes. You're
from this area? Because I live in Columbiana County.
Yes, yes. I've been living in this area since 1952.
Okay, now you live in Columbiana County, you're saying?
No, I live in Mahoning County.
Okay. See, I live in Columbiana County, and I'm in a country area.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we still, you know, run wood burners, and a lot of people, my friends, probably make under $50,000 a year. You know, I mean, it's not, you know, we're not over the top.
Okay,
we live modestly, take care of the kids.
I understand that.
I'm an independent, so
mm-hmm.
I just am curious. I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just curious if I agree that we need our liberties. You know, we need to have freedom to make our choices and
mm-hmm.
the Constitution and bear arms and,
mm-hmm.
you know, take care of our own. So am I considered, and I'm only asking because I kind of think I am with the Tea Party, but I don't want to offend people who are of black nationality because that really bothers me. And I think mixed children are absolutely beautiful. I don't think that about children that are half Asian. And, you know, my great-grandmother was an American Indian. And, you know, I never looked at her at anything other than beautiful. It had nothing to do with the color of her skin. How do you fit me in there?
No. This is it. You got to understand. I said me. That's the only thing I asked them long time ago when I come up. I did not want them going with no white boys or no white girls, nothing like that there, with no mixed kids on Thanksgiving sitting across the table, stuff like that. I don't care what
nobody else does.
Mm.
Well, you know what? If that's what you want in your home, I agree with you.
You know
that I think you have every right in your home to run your home and raise your children the way you want. Now, whether they go that way, because I have two grown children, And I'll tell you, they don't agree with me much.
You know,
but I have two younger ones that probably still think I walk on water.
You know, but it's only here in America do people accept mixed race people. Really, certainly if you go into China or India, they're not accepting of mixed race people, and especially in a country like a South Korea. If a person is mixed race in South Korea, the person is ostracized. So, you know, mixed race marriages are not accepted they're only accepted here in America, really.
Well,
and the fact that we have a person who calls himself African American, and that person is our president, and yet he does not have two parents that are African American. In a lot of places in the world, he would not be considered as being a part of their culture because he doesn't share two parents who are from the same culture.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. I remember my grandfather and grandmother. Now, this has nothing to do with the color of your skin, but this is true. They came from Germany. And my grandfather was Roman Catholic. He could only marry a Roman Catholic woman. If he married anyone outside that church, they said they were not married, and they did not consider their children of their own. I mean, that's the way it was. Now, we're talking, you know, 1900s, 1800s, exact dates, don't know. But this is true. My great-grandparents were to marry within the same church. And
that's the way it used
to be. They did not go outside the Catholic religion. And when I was raised as a Catholic, I was an eighth grader, and my best friends were not Catholic, but I thought everyone was a Catholic because all of my cousins were, all of my aunt and uncles were. So I had a very, I thought everyone was a Catholic. I had no clue. And so I'm sure, because you said you've been here, one gentleman said he's been here since 1950 or 40 or whatever. You said you've lived in Youngstown all your life. You know, haven't you seen it where you thought you were the only, everyone lived like you did when you were a kid?
Okay, now, when I was a kid, my first 4 years I was in a Catholic school and everything.
But didn't you think everybody was raised the same way you were?
No.
No?
Uh-uh.
See, I did. I did.
You know what I did? I'm going to tell you, I did. I was raised in the country. I was a country girl. I thought everyone was Pentecostal. I thought everyone was the same because we were just in that little world of our own. And we just really didn't talk about it like when we went somewhere. So I just thought everyone, when I was 18 and I left home, that's when I found out the world is a completely different place than I thought it was.
Well, see, this is it now. Now, when I was in the sixth and seventh grade, I went to all Jewish school and everything. Okay, now, I got to the point where I thought I was Jewish because there was only three of us in the school that wasn't Jewish. You know, I was the only black in the school, and the other two was two white ladies, and they were Gentiles.
Thank you.
You know.
Thank you very much. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you very much, everybody. Everybody, please have a seat. Thank you. Well, good afternoon, everybody. Now that those of us on the campaign trail have had a chance to get a little sleep, it's time to get back to work, and there is plenty of work to do. As I said on Tuesday night, the American people voted for action, not politics as usual. You elected us to focus on your jobs, not ours. And in that spirit, I've invited leaders of both parties to the White House next week so we can start to build consensus around the challenges that we can only solve together. And I also intend to bring in business and labor and civic leaders from all across the country here to Washington to get their ideas and input as well. You know, at a time when our economy is still recovering from the Great Recession, our top priority has to be jobs and growth. That's the focus of the plan that I talked about during the campaign. It's a plan to reward small businesses and manufacturers to create jobs here, not overseas. It's a plan to give people the chance to get the education and training that businesses are looking for right now. It's a plan to make sure this country is a global leader in research and technology and clean energy, which will attract new companies and high-wage jobs to America. It's a plan to put folks back to work, including our veterans, rebuilding our roads and our bridges and other infrastructure. And it's a plan to reduce our deficit in a balanced and responsible way. Our work is made that much more urgent because at the end of this year, we face a series of deadlines that require us to make major decisions about how to pay our deficit down. Decisions that will have a huge impact on the economy and the middle class, both now and in the future. Last year, I worked with Democrats and Republicans to cut $1 trillion worth of spending that we just couldn't afford. I intend to work with both parties to do more, and that includes making reforms that will bring down the cost of health care so we can strengthen programs like Medicaid and Medicare for the long haul. But, as I've said before, we can't just cut our way to prosperity. If we're serious about reducing the deficit, we have to combine spending cuts with revenue. And that means asking the wealthiest Americans to pay a little more in taxes. That's how we did it. That's how we did it in the 1990s when Bill Clinton was president. That's how we can reduce the deficit while still making the investments we need to build a strong middle class and a strong economy. That's the only way we can still afford to train our workers or help our kids pay for college or make sure that good jobs in clean energy or high-tech manufacturing don't end up in countries like China. Now, already I've put forward a detailed plan that allows us to make these investments while reducing our deficit by $4 trillion over the next decade. I want to be clear, I'm not wedded to every detail of my plan. I'm open to compromise. I'm open to new ideas. I'm committed to solving our fiscal challenges. But I refuse to accept any approach that isn't balanced. I'm not going to ask students and seniors and middle-class families to pay down the entire deficit while people like me making over $250,000 aren't asked to pay a dime more in taxes. I'm not going to do that. And I just want to point out, this was a central question during the election. It was debated over and over again. And on Tuesday night, we found out that the majority of Americans agree with my approach. And that includes Democrats, independents, and a lot of Republicans across the country, as well as independent economists and budget experts. That's how you reduce the deficit, with a balanced approach. So our job now is to get a majority in Congress to reflect the will of the American people. And I believe we can get that majority. I was encouraged to hear Speaker Boehner agree that tax revenue has to be part of this equation. So I look forward to hearing his ideas when I see him next week. Let me make one final point that every American needs to hear. Right now, if Congress fails to come to an agreement on an overall deficit reduction package by the end of the year, everybody's taxes will automatically go up on January 1st. Everybody's, including the 98% of Americans who make less than $250,000 a year. And that makes no sense. It would be bad for the economy and would hit families that are already struggling to make ends meet. Now, fortunately, we shouldn't need long negotiations or drama to solve that part of the problem. While there may be disagreement in Congress over whether or not to raise taxes on folks making over $250,000 a year, nobody, not Republicans, not Democrats, want taxes to go up for folks making under $250,000 a year. So let's not wait. Even as we're negotiating a broader deficit reduction package, let's extend the middle class tax cuts right now. Let's do that right now. That one step would give millions of families, 98% of Americans, and 97% of small businesses, the certainty that they need going into the new year. It would immediately take a huge chunk of the economic uncertainty off the table, and that'll lead to new jobs and faster growth. Business will know that consumers, they're not going to see a big tax increase. They'll know that most small businesses won't see a tax increase. And so a lot of the uncertainty that you're reading about, that will be removed. In fact, the Senate has already passed a bill doing exactly this. So all we need is action from the House. And I've got the pen ready to sign the bill right away. I'm ready to do it. You know, the American people understand that we're going to have differences and disagreements in the months to come. They get that. But on Tuesday, they said loud and clear that they won't tolerate dysfunction. They won't tolerate politicians who view compromise as a dirty word. Not when so many Americans are still out of work. Not when so many families and small business owners are still struggling to pay the bills. What the American people are looking for is cooperation. They're looking for consensus. They're looking for common sense. Most of all, they want action. I intend to deliver for them in my second term, and I expect to find willing partners in both parties to make that happen. So let's get to work. Thank you very much, everybody. Thank you.
Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at tracyandfriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. And that was President Obama. He was giving his first speech since he was elected President of the United States of America. And I know that we were talking about something else before we went to break, but I did want to play that because usually we don't get to hear him live here in the studio when he's actually giving his speeches, and today it just happened to work out well. Jeff's in the studio with me. Jeff, make sure all those mics are down over there, please.
Mm-hmm.
And who's in the chat room? I need my man from Youngstown to call me back again because I'm so confused. Go ahead, Stanley. I'm not Stanley. Philadelphia. Go ahead. You wanted to say something.
Yeah. Well, people were talking about the intercultural marriages and how, you know, even though we have a president that is of mixed race, a lot of families in America, even today, they don't want their children in a mixed marriage. And that may sound racist, but that's just the way a lot of people feel about their culture, especially if you go into the Asian cultures. They want someone of their same caste, namely in India, they want to marry somebody within their caste, and they want to marry somebody who is of who is a person of some type of Indian descent. So.
But
you know,
I mean, mine is not so much of how you trying to do this, but you, I mean, I would that my son or daughter come home with an African American female or male that he's going to marry, not because of the racist part of it, but because I think it's important that we continue within the culture and in the bloodline that we have. But if my son or daughter brings home somebody of not the same race, I'm not going to throw them out the house and be upset and have a and I ain't gonna tell my daughter don't bring somebody in here.
The main reason why African Americans do it because they see the lighter skin tone as being one of privilege, so they figure if they have
you really think that really happens today?
Children, yes, and that's the reason why African American men they tend to pursue white women over black women because they think that their children will have higher rates of privilege than children who have darker skin. That's the reason why they do it.
No, they don't.
Go. Hold on, Stanley. Hold on. Alex, your mic is on.
Good afternoon, Tracy.
Good afternoon.
I wanted to address what the older gentleman was talking about. I think maybe one thing that I think people are overlooking is that we can all agree that all white people, all Europeans aren't, you know, devilish, and all of them aren't, you know, out to get us and all that stuff. But I think that the unspoken sense that why we say, when you ask them whose fault is it, and he was like, well, it's the original white man's, you know. In a sense, that's true, because the thing is that there's an unspoken sense that European people, white people, only respect their own humanity. They don't respect other people's humanity. You know, when it comes to, you know, what happens to Europeans or like Jewish Holocaust or whatever, it's like never forget, never forget. But when it comes to things that happen to us, oh, get over it. You know, and it's, and we see it even in the institution of our laws today, where we have, when it comes to black men, over 70% of them, the ones that are incarcerated, are in for nonviolent drug-related charges. Now, and it's usually, you know, caught up with marijuana. Now, but see, when we had a prohibition, some decades ago, when it caught up the violence, when it created all this systemic violence in their community, when it was prohibition of alcohol, you know, they repealed that because they saw the damage that it had in their community. But now when we have this marijuana prohibition, it's having those same effects of cultures of violence and just destroying the families in our community. They don't care. And so, and they're the ones that control that dynamic, typically from the government level and the institution of laws. And so that's why. And it's not to say that we all know that all white people aren't the same, but that's why a lot of people have that feeling that they still have the feeling that yes, because of white people, because you know they control that and they don't care. And the only thing they want to do is analyze the victim and say, well, you didn't have to do this, that, and the other. But, you know, but when you saw that this when this prohibition-related problems that was affecting your community, you repealed the law for alcohol. But when it comes to marijuana, we got to go through all this, you know, we got to go through all this suffering. And so I think that people, even though it's unspoken, they know it. They know it in their gut. They feel it in their gut. And even though it may not be verbalized, they feel it. And that's coming from.
But don't we know that the lack of forgiveness that we have, and the ignorance that's on the opposite side, is not going to make it easier for her, us to cohabitate in the future. And see, my concern is, you know, the people, there's ignorance everywhere. But I hate to tell you all this, there's ignorance in the black community on black on black. I mean, you know, and we can be just ignorant. I mean, I can call some names out right now off the top of my head, and I know they don't mean me absolutely no good, and I do the best I could to help them out. And who am I going to blame for that? The white man for that? I mean, I know that they used to pit us against one another, but some things, people are just evil.
Yeah, but it's not just, but the way that it's usually framed, and even the way that you're framing it now, it's as if we're any different. I don't think that any other people would act differently under the same conditions, because what we've seen is that is actually, in fact, the case. When there was prohibition of alcohol that affected their community, they have the same systemic violence.
But Alex, when I help you go somewhere, say I pay for your college, and everybody thinks you're an idiot. And I come in and I pay for your college, and you go to college, you graduate, and you actually have you start your own business.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you come back and come after me just because I wouldn't let you take over my business?
I don't understand what you're saying. You're saying that. Like black people.
You wanted to go to college.
Uh huh.
Everybody thought you were an idiot and didn't want you around.
Uh huh.
I come in and say, you know what? You got potential. We need to give you an opportunity to go to college. Come in and pay for your college.
Uh huh. Right.
You graduate from college.
Mm-hmm.
You come back and get mad at me because you want to come work for me and take over my business, and I tell you no. And then you come and try to cut my throat because I didn't let you do that.
Yeah, well.
You follow where I'm coming from? What I'm saying is we need to quit looking at people by the hue of their sin or the culture of where they come from and just look at people for people, because there's evil people everywhere.
That's true. I mean, this
is my problem. We keep on lumping people into baskets according to their hue, and I'm saying we need to lump them in the baskets according to their works.
I agree with that. I completely agree with that. But it comes down to character.
A character has no color, and that's what. Because what I heard today was, we have, you know, there's some good white people out there, but the majority of them that's out there ain't white, and so it was just, you know, too far off base, where people are people.
Yes, but I think that people deal with, most people are driven by emotion, and so they're dealing with what's on their plate and what they have to deal with, what they've seen, their experiences growing up and things like that, and just their environment. And so I agree that, you know, yeah, you don't judge people by the color of their skin, and I don't either. But I know that I'm not naive enough to think that the reason, I'm not going to dismiss the reason for our condition. The reason for our condition is...
There are multiple reasons for our condition, but we need to take some ownership into some of the reason also. I mean, yeah, the white man does a whole lot of dirt to us. But I know, and I want Jeff to jump in here too, but I know that all the white people that I know have nothing to do with the white man that actually did some of this.
I agree with that. But it's hard. It's hard for a lot of people to separate the two because why is it, you know, they have, because they're still living their life going through the suffering. And their family is too, and everybody that they know. And so it's very difficult to separate the two for a lot of people. I mean, I completely agree with you. that you shouldn't, you know, judge whatever. But at the same time, when it comes down to it, to actually do something about it, when it comes down to character of actually doing something about, let's say, when it comes to the drug laws, unfortunately, most white people don't do anything about it when given the opportunity.
But the issue is, the reason why they don't do anything about it is because a lot of times we're not sitting at the table to tell them any different. And we don't have, and we got the numbers to change it. President Obama's election has shown us we've definitely got the numbers to change a whole lot of stuff in America.
No, we don't.
Yeah, we do.
How can we change the laws if we're we don't have the number to change the laws.
Yes, we do. President Obama's election on this past Tuesday showed me just how much power we have in every state.
The main group that elected Obama was women. That was the group that.
I don't care what your exit poll show. My map shows me. All them women, there was a whole bunch of colored ones in the mix.
Yeah, but it was a combination of educated women, Hispanics, and African Americans. African Americans can't do it alone.
Honey, look at the map of Ohio.
I agree with you. You got
the numbers to rock some world. Now, don't get me wrong. You don't have the majority. But you got the numbers to rock some world. And what's going to happen is they're going to manipulate the minority target. Listen to what I'm saying. You might be only 12% of the population, but you make up 100% of the swing.
No, you don't. If you look at the map, I know what you're saying. In the urban areas, that's where he was elected. But in any given, all those areas were still not the majority. Listen to what I'm saying, Alex.
I got to show you the numbers, the abstract numbers. See the abstract numbers, and you got to see the map. You got to see how this is, because they're going to use this in the next 2 years for your gubernatorial elections. And I need to educate everybody, because they're going to use you again.
Sure are. And if you're smart, you know, I was on election night, I was begging people, okay, now, since you won this, you need to start asking for something. And then a certain call of ours, who I blocked off of my Facebook because I couldn't take the stupidity, told me, everybody doesn't want to have something for their vote. Some people just want to vote because they just like the person that's there. I said, that's stupid. And I like to use that word, by the way.
No.
But anyway, it is stupid, because we are giving our vote in huge number, and we are not getting anything back. And so I said, don't get out your party. Don't do that. This is what you do. Go to your party and start telling them you want certain things that will, that are going to last for you.
Man, listen, if we started educating people on the process, you could change some stuff. Because everybody demonizes the Tea Party instead of taking notes from it.
Right. Let me ask you something, Tracy. What do you think would happen if they proposed legalization of marijuana in Ohio or Florida? Do you think it would pass?
No.
Why?
Because they don't know what to do. They don't know how to go about it.
But why is it that it's legalized? It'll get legal. It'll pass in states that have very low
African-American
populations. Why is it?
Why? Because they're not paying attention to it. I mean, seriously. I mean, very, very seriously. You got to know when to hold them and when to fold them and when to put it on the ballot and when to leave it off.
But my point, though, is that, you know, we don't have to do all this organizing and all this stuff. there's very small things, very few things that you could do to completely just revolutionize, or I should say, have very great impact on a community. And there's pressure points, and one of them is the drug laws. If you just affected that, that would transform most African American communities. If you did that in Ohio and New York, whatever.
But they won't do it.
And we both know why it won't happen. Because they want to keep making money locking our folks up. And there's a certain amount of character that needs to be there to say, no, I'm not going to do that to my fellow mankind. And I think that most people, even though if they won't say it, they still have that feeling in their gut, and they know it. And so we can talk about, oh, we need to do all this, that, and the other, and it's just only thing that's going to happen is once you go through all that song and dance, they're just going to change the game again.
This is the issue. I don't need to legalize drugs. I just need to tell my kids don't do them.
No, that doesn't work.
What I'm saying. Listen to what I'm saying.
Everybody uses drugs.
No.
Everybody.
No.
It's not a color thing. Everybody uses drugs.
Alex, listen to what I'm saying. I don't have to tell you. I see, it's like guns in the house growing up. You didn't have to have a gun safe, and people weren't getting killed by accidental gun shootings growing up because the gun was there, it was on the gun rack, and nobody touched it. We need to put that type of discipline back in our home. Our problem is we have lack of discipline. Let me take it. Stanley, your mic is on, honey.
I agree with you, Tracy, with the drug thing. My mother was so smart. You know what she did to make sure that I didn't use drugs? When I was 2 years old or 3 years old, she said, you know what, I want my son not to use drugs, so I'm going to send him a new day. When I was in New York, me and my mother went to the worst place possible where I saw what happened when you use drugs. I saw mothers using drugs and things like that, and the image and just the situation of that, my mom told me, if you use drugs, this is what's going to happen to you. And I've never been in a situation of using drugs. So it's a choice.
Our problem is we don't demonize drug use.
Exactly.
Our problem is we don't put self controls into our livelihood, and so we are driven by emotion.
Tracy,
exactly.
why do we have to be held to a different standard?
Because we're different.
That's what it comes down
because,
to.
If you
concede yourself to that, then what you're saying is we are second class citizens. That's
no,
what
I'm
you're
saying. What I'm
to.
Saying.
No.
What I'm saying is my culture is different.
Because the laws are different for us.
No,
the laws are different for us.
No.
So we're emotionally second class citizens.
No, what I'm saying is we are emotionally engaged.
Nothing to do with that.
Yes, it does.
The fact of the matter is that if the laws were affecting. The laws were affecting the majority. The way that it affects us, the laws will be changed.
Listen, if they
just
change,
as it was before,
listen to what I'm saying.
And so you don't
if
want
we,
to do it now. Oh, you
if
need
we legal,
you need self
listen to what
control and discipline.
If we legalize drugs, cause see, if they put a law on the ballot and said they wanted to legalize marijuana, I would still be jumping up and down screaming about saying no to it.
Well, why aren't you doing that about alcohol? It kills more people than marijuana ever has.
Hey, I'm trying to get people to quit.
And tobacco.
Listen,
legal. Tobacco, cigarettes, alcohol.
I wasn't around when it became legal.
But why?
Just like with gambling. I don't like gambling.
People for their choices. I agree with Tracy. It's a choice you make. How come I'm not using drugs and some people do? But if you use drugs and you get caught, that's your choice. That's your choice.
Stanley and I don't agree today, do we?
You're agreeing with Stanley.
Hold up, Stanley. I got to pick up somebody else because I ain't used to agreeing with you either. Private caller, your mic is on.
Hi, good morning. What's up, Tracy? You're not going to agree with Stanley because you're not used to doing it? What's up
Absolutely.
With that?
Absolutely.
What
I'm saying is it's just not normal, so I got to go pick up another call because that's just not normal. I agree with Stanley, and I agree. Yesterday it was Michigan, and I agree, and so, you know, this is kind of strange.
Well, that's okay. Hey, look here.
We got issues. No, we got issues. We got something wrong when we start agreeing on stuff.
Hey, just like you said, a broke clock is right twice a day.
Something wrong.
Don't trip. It won't last that long.
Okay, just checking because you know I want to keep the flavor of the show going, and if we start agreeing, it really will mess. People will be confused.
All right, I understand. Hey, dealing with this voting thing, and I think Jeff was absolutely spot on with respect to telling a person just voting, you know, for superficial reasons is stupid, and that is stupid. Your vote is like a currency. You're putting your currency on the counter, and you should get a good and or service that's commensurate with your outlay. So, and to think about if blacks have the power, it's not on the national scene. It has to be in the local communities. You know, they say charity starts at home and then it spreads abroad. If blacks want to make a difference, you get your goods and services where you live. So that's where you need to coagulate or vote as a block in order to exercise the greater influence. That's called sensible and intelligent voting.
But they're voting
Anderson
as a block.
Dr. talks about this extensively in his two books, Black Labor, White Wealth, and also Powernomics.
But they are voting as a block.
Well, they aren't. They're not voting as a block where it counts. They may be voting as a block in the national election, I understand. But see, the president really can't do that much for you. You need to get what you want in your communities, your mayor, your local legislators, and, of course, on the state level.
That's where you really shine. Hold on, Solutions. We vote Democrat there too. We got a lock on that.
But you don't ask for anything, Tracy. That's the thing. It's not just voting. You're dealing with multiple issues here. The other thing I would like for you to study, just take a moment and read white privilege. It's in Wikipedia because a lot of people don't understand how that works because it's hidden and they just don't get it. There's also a book by Thomas Shapiro that deals with the wealth gap and how that works. Money controls pretty much everything in America, and those who control the money are, of course, going to control the social issues. That's why presidents, seek so much money during their reelection campaigns. But I encourage you to read it. It's broken up into the white privilege, the history, the wealth, the justice, the employment economics, the housing, the education, and, of course, self-image. So all of those particular human facets are reflected in this. It's a pretty decent article. And there are others that will corroborate it, but a lot of times your black people are the most unenlightened and practice the most inappropriate behavior toward the things that are invisible but impact them very much. It's kind of like gravity. White privilege and gravity are very much alike. They're very real. They're invisible. But you have to understand them. And this is a way of helping those people who want to understand that grasp these particular intangible concepts. You understand?
No, I don't understand. I'm still, what did he use earlier? Commensurate. I'm still trying to get past commensurate. Go ahead. Don't worry about it. Go ahead, Michigan.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, that Jeff in the background.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's me.
Yeah, me and Tracy agreed three times yesterday, man.
I heard, man. I couldn't believe it. I almost wrecked the car when I heard it.
I said if we agree one more time, I'm going to hang it up. That's what I told him.
It's bad.
But, you know, there are two things just from the stuff that I'm hearing. I think one of the things that when you listen to people's analysis of the dysfunction in the black community, it has to be analyzed from either one or two points. One is that this dysfunctional community that you're after, you've seen one already, so you know how it works, or you assume that, you know, we have never had one, and so we're on a quest to get one. Well, it's two things. One of the things is all of the stuff that we're saying, the dysfunctions, if you check the history, there was a time when those weren't dysfunctions. So the idea is there. We've had a functional community before. Even if you say now we're giving away our vote and we're ignorant, but we've had functional communities. What you need to do is study those and see what happened to them.
You know, I have a this is my resolve. And because see, one, I think we have been brainwashed into looking at another society for so long. And we have been brainwashed in believing that society is so right, that we have not really embraced who we are as a people, just by the nature of who we are. And I think that is our largest downfall. We don't like our hair. We don't like our nose. We don't like our skin tone. We don't like our ingenuity. We don't like our creativity. We have major issues. And they and society has played a game with on our minds that everything white is right. And so
yeah,
every time,
Tracy,
let me finish. Hold
okay,
on. So every time something white comes along, we want to duplicate it and make it ours instead of just being who we are.
Are you finished?
Go ahead.
Yeah, now, while what you're saying is true, that is true, and I would call that a de minimis position, but what has to be done now to work past that is to communicate effectively as opposed to balkanizing.
Balkanizing
is to separate into these hostile factions. And by the way, maybe a little bit that has to do with my participation, a lot of the white racist separatist groups are now listening to the overwhelming majority of black shows on Blog Talk Radio. I see them in your chat rooms. And the thing of it is that, I think that if you start to have these open and honest conversations, language is exceedingly powerful. Language is actually spiritual. And when you trace language from an etymology standpoint, you find out that language was a gift. It was not something that man developed. Adam was given a language at his creation. He didn't go around, ooh, 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 ooh. God gave him an intelligible language. So that's the way to work yourself and dig yourself out of the hole. And you'll notice that people who are not resolution-oriented will pick up their marbles and go home. They don't want to discuss the issue. They allow pride and ignorance, at minimum, to dominate their behavior. And that keeps them isolated. You have to work as a group. In America, things are divided up according to skin color teams. Again, Dr. Anderson talks about this.
Listen, I got you. Got to stop right there. I've got to take a break. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. We will be right back.
Hello, is anyone
Hello,
there?
Hello, everybody.
Hello, is anyone
yeah.
there?
Yes.
Yeah, we're here.
Well, based upon what you said, I think a lot of it is because the African Americans don't have a distinct culture they can call their own that comes from some type of motherland that they have their roots in. They've had
That's absolutely true.
The American
That's absolutely
culture.
But second best to that is creating one. That's the unique thing about human beings as part of their God-given image. They can actually create what they need, okay? So while I agree with you on that level, and that is true, blacks were brought to America and other lands. It's called the peculiar institution. You were brought here as property to increase the livelihood of the whites that brought you here. You were not brought here to live the American dream. And that's why you don't have a culture. They made sure they effaced and annihilated your culture.
Hey, Solutions.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Sure.
Yeah, this is South Carolina. I want to tell you something. We don't always agree on stuff, but, man, you are my hero. Y'all missed it last week. Solutions there was a young lady in here, and there was an exchange that went on. And just, you know, listen, she basically asked for the tongue lashing that she got. That's about all I can say on that.
Right. Well, what you men have to do, and I appreciate that, but you all have to stand up, too, because it takes a lot of energy fighting foolishness and ignorance, and women have a plethora of ignorance. And what the reason that is allowed to ferment and grow is because you guys don't stand up to counterbalance it. And so you can't have relationships with the women because the law will side with them, of course, for monetary purposes. There's a monetary angle in siding with the foolishness of women. But you guys have to stand up. You have to encourage. And one of the things you have to do is say to women what you want. You have to tell women what you want from them when you first meet them. And that's what men are very negligent in. They have no agenda. It's the same as with the political setting. You don't have an agenda. And when that is the case, the group that does have an agenda rules.
Yep.
So you guys
need to
– now what I'm doing,
hello?
I'm just sort of being a little bit of a pedagogue. And I'm just throwing out how to argue, how to debate these issues with women and men, because a lot of men are actually women. Internally, they're women. They think like women. They're kind of like the keepers of Dracula. You know, the keeper of Dracula will kill you because he looks out for his evil master. And that's what a lot of men are. They're evil masters of women. They're actually women internally. They're she-males.
Now, I'm going to tell you, the way the conversation went was, it was totally above board. It was not disrespectful. But he was telling her, basically, you know, you're guided by your emotions, and your emotions are going to kill you every time. And that's when it de-escalated. And that's when she started using some colorful, you know, euphemisms and defaming his character and calling names, and after a certain point of this, he just kind of told her that was it.
Well, I'm on another show, Mark Jackson. Listen to that show. That's where I battle these selfish, self-centered, narcissistic, so-called Christians, very arrogant women, and we really battle it out. It's a good discussion, though. And Mark just let us have it because he knows me. He and I have a relationship, and he knows that I can bring some light there that a lot of the other men can't.
And I believe it's basically understanding who you are and what your place is. And I'm not saying women have a specific place where they're subservient to men, in a sense where you got to put your foot or your boot on their neck. But once that place is known and you know what you're supposed to be in society, then you reach balance and you can have harmony and you can have success. Otherwise, it's going to be chaos. It may be controlled chaos, but it'll be chaos.
Well, yeah, it's chaotic. Now, what is it that you disagree with that you hear me support?
Oh, no, this is every now and then. Nobody agrees on everything. But like I said, you know, there's some things you said in the past, like, you know, I don't remember what it was. I said, well, no, I don't quite agree with that.
Okay.
But a good portion of it, you know, it's just little things. No big deal. You know,
well, what has to happen is, see, it's agreement where your power is, not in disagreement. Now, it's okay to disagree to come to a position of power, but to be in disagreement, see, only people who don't understand power speak about disagreement as a right. Those are the only people agreement, it's just like playing on a team. Remember that, team, esprit de corps. If it's fine, you know, to have your little minor disagreements, but you've got to come into agreement in order to have any sort of power.
Yep. Esprit de corps is a term that we used in the Marine Corps when I was in the Marine Corps. And it definitely means you know, you work as a team. There may be many units, with different functions, but you work as a team to a common goal, to give the enemy every chance he can to stop his country, and that's how it works. But
right. Are any other men on the line? I mean, it's good to sit back and listen and learn, but they need to speak up, too. They need to reattach their gonads and start speaking out. The truth is a very powerful weapon. The truth is powerful. And that's the reason so many people run from it. So are there any other men listening in?
Yeah.
All right. What do you guys have to say? Do you believe you've been wimps for women, women out of control, overly emotional, selfish, narcissistic, American
well, I
women?
I think the black woman is used as a tool in white society to try to emasculate the black man. And that's the reason why you see so many black women with jobs and levels of education that are above the men. Because the women are being used in that way, and they don't realize what's happening. Therefore, when they go into the home, they automatically assume that the black man is inferior because they're told that in school and also on the job, and they do that in the home as well.
Well, that's true, and like you say, they don't know what's happening. That's a very accurate statement. That's why they have to be informed by men who have the intestinal fortitude to do so. Now, a lot of your preachers are actually internally women, and they are keeping the women single by making the women so stinky, that is their behavior, so outlandish that no man will put up with them. So you've got to confront your churches, too, because they're telling
yeah.
women, like on this show the other night, this woman said, well, I'm the prize. Now, we're talking about having a relationship with a man. She says, I'm the prize. A man has to chase me. And I told her what a self-centered, narcissistic individual, arrogant individual that she was.
And I still am. It is what I am. I'm not going to chase no man down the street.
That? Well,
Tracy,
little Hitler?
Tracy.
Little Hitlerette?
I started that conversation, a different conversation that spun off from last week when Mrs. Solutions was on the line with someone else. And, you know, after the show, it's archived. So if folks want to listen to it, it's archived. But we were talking about something else, and it kind of spun off into that, you know.
Yeah, tell them what it was.
I'm not asking no man to date me.
Well,
no,
that's because you're narcissistic and you're ill-informed, Tracy. That's why.
And guess what? I'm going to be a narcissistic, ill-informed, beautiful
lady. Not about
dating
you. It's having communication with you. He may not even like you to date you. But
guess
he's got to have that
then
opening
best he, then best he open up and ask me to have an open conversation, because if he thinks I'm going to chase after him, he got another thing coming.
It's not about chasing, Tracy. It's
I'm not
socializing.
Even approaching. I'm not
it's
even socializing.
Socializing.
I'm going to say hi
group.
To you.
Haven't read
I'm
going
to say hello, how are you, God bless you, whatever it is. I'm
okay,
going
well,
to respect you.
Wait a minute,
you
Tracy,
want me to
wait.
Have, but if you
Tracy,
want to have coffee with me, you want to see more about me, you will seek me out, because a man is supposed to be
can
the predator.
What you
yes.
just
can
said
I
is
Michigan.
Hold on,
Michigan.
Michigan. Hold on,
I was
Michigan.
On the show with Mr. Solutions.
Lord.
I think a day or two ago, and he said, man, what you need to do is introduce some functional black men to some functional black women.
Yes.
They need to get married. In, I would say, Mr. Solutions, I'd like to introduce you to Tracy. I kept my word. Now y'all exchange numbers, and then y'all talk off air.
Is my mic open? Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay, I can't tell, so you have to let me know, Tracy.
We can hear you.
Now he's doing this tongue in cheek. I know Tracy. Tracy and I are not compatible.
No, Solutions.
No,
what do you mean we're not
man.
Compatible?
I like Tracy because you're too overbearing, Tracy.
Hey, listen. Hey, I did my job. I'm out of it.
Wait a minute. I'm not letting you get away with that. I'm going to track you down, fella.
I'm going to hang up now.
The thing of it is, there are some men, and it's in all seriousness now,
okay.
There are some men that possibly would be more compatible with Tracy. And Tracy may have to adjust her attitude a little bit. She's out in the world, rough riding and bronco busting, but she may have to realize that she should have to adjust her attitude.
Actually,
he is a compatible man.
You guys, no, I'm not compatible. You know, no. You know what? I have to tell you guys a secret, and I don't want y'all to tell everybody if you don't mind. You have to understand there are women that are multifaceted. You know, you can't. It's really funny.
Tracy, you can't say that. You can't do that because you told Jeff, you and Jackie and Diva were on the phone. We had that show, and you told Jeff and Ben and myself that we were crazy because we told you that you had three personalities, and now you twist it around and you say multifaceted. So we know the truth is three personalities.
That's right, Ben. I hope you're listening, man.
Listen. That's right.
I do not have three personalities, but women are very complex.
That's schizophrenic.
That's true.
That's not schizophrenic. Women are very, very complex, and the more complex the woman is, the better off the wife she is.
Oh, my, no, that's not true.
That is, no, you,
gentlemen, don't believe
on, no,
that.
No,
we're not married.
No, Jeff, let me get this out.
Tracy,
real quick. Let me explain what I'm saying.
Come on.
When I say the complexities, I'm not talking about the complicatedness of it. I'm talking about the complexity of it. She knows which role to be when. And sometimes you need a strong man needs a strong woman to support him and still know how to be soft and know how to make sure that he becomes paramount in her life.
Define strong.
What does that
mean?
Strong means knows how to lead from the second position. Strong is servanthood.
Okay, so what
does she do
exactly? So what are some of the major things that she should do?
What she does, she takes his vision and she helps him run with it. And she
now, how does she do that in the fundamental foundation that is during the early stages? How does that work out during dating? How does that work out during dating?
She ought to know who she is so that she ought to know who she is. But a lot of times, men will not get past her exterior. Because she is a very, very strong woman. But if you look at your parents, especially the parents or the grandparents of yesterday, those were some extremely strong women, especially African-American women.
Well, look here, dear, she has to be able to communicate her strength.
A man has to be able to actually be able to see the strength in her and say,
no,
you know what?
That doesn't make any sense.
Well, then that's where you know we are incompatible, because if you can't see it, then you'll never know it.
As an adult, she's not a baby. As an adult, she has to be able to communicate her strengths. Would you agree with that, guys?
No.
Well, hey, Jeff.
Yeah.
This is Michigan. I got a new talking point, man. So here's what we're going to start saying. The black man does practice polygamy. Because if you got a black woman, if she got three personalities, then you're dealing with three women. So I guess polygamy in the black community is alive and well.
You know what, guys?
So does that mean we're all Mormons?
Yeah. Y'all are crazy.
I got to take a break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. You guys go ahead and do what you do in the chat.
Now, this is a good thing that Tracy does. She leaves the phone chat room open because more happens. Remember, if you take white men, for example, they cut more deals at their clubhouses, places where they socialize, do necessarily any place else. Great deals are made in clubhouse bathrooms. And I don't mean anything untoward toward that. I just simply mean people act they are wherever they are. And so what happens is, just like I was sharing with Tracy, it's hard to talk to Tracy. She runs roughshod over most men. No men are able to saddle and straddle her and actually break her Because that's what she, and now that's what Shahrazad Ali said. I'm borrowing from her concepts out of her book.
Well, that's what Mr. Solutions. That's why I believe that Tracy needs a man like you, man.
So no. Now, see, you're being nefarious now. You're joking. Tracy and I, see, it's very important that people are matched with compatible people. Tracy and I, it would be a galactic war.
Okay.
And you don't want that.
No,
so,
you don't want that.
Yeah, I encourage men to test women and to avoid women who create that kind of negative energy. Now, Tracy would have to change. See, Tracy doesn't respect men. She, when a man tells her something, she'll make a joke out of it, or she'll deviate, she'll divert from it, because she doesn't want to hear what a man has to say. She's been spoiled at some point in her upbringing, and that's the reason so many. Diva is the same way. Diva and Tracy are one person with respect to their dysfunctionality vis-a-vis relationships. Follow me?
Now do you think that has a lot to do with the lack of a father in their life?
It could be, but realize this. Human beings, what they don't have, they can it's remedial. They can always remedy that if they choose to. We can get counseling. We can listen to other people. We can self-medicate. We can read ourselves. That's a form of self-medication. And we can change our behavior. We can pray. But see, when she prays to God, it's very one-sided. When she prays to God, God sends her me.
And she don't want it.
She doesn't want that. She doesn't want that answer.
Right.
Own answer. So really, she becomes God. And so I explained to her I know the Bible far better than Tracy.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that to be supercilious or arrogant or anything like that. I'm just saying that as a fact. The Bible presents various ways in which people meet. You had God introduced Adam and Eve. He was the creator and the first matchmaker. You have Eliezer, the servant of Abraham, who went back to Abraham's homeland to get a wife for Isaac. And they married sight unseen. And, of course, you had Ruth and Boaz, where Ruth actually approached Boaz and asked him to marry her. That's what her actions represented, and that's in Ruth chapter 2.
Hey, Solutions, let me ask you something.
Wait a minute. That's in Ruth chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. I encourage you men to read that. What's your question?
Right. How many churches have you been run out by women? The way you're talking, man, you go up to some of these churches, seems like you have more nooks and more knots on your head.
And guidance pastors all the time.
Now, here's the thing that I run into at the church that I'm in, or was in.
Did I answer your question? Did you get my answer?
Yeah. That's cool. But what happens is you've got women that once you tell them the answer, or give them the correct answer, if they don't like it, it's on.
They what? I'm sorry?
It
what?
If you give them the correct answer,
yes,
the answer that's correct, but if they don't like it or if it goes against their
emotion,
what they want to hear, it's on. I mean, it's a fight. It really is a fight.
Oh, yes. Like, but see, this is the thing. A man has to gear up for a woman's ignorant and emotional outbursts. Because, see, she's narcissistic. She's not been taught to play by fair rules. See, she just – that's the reason I dub Tracy sometimes. And I like Tracy, by the way. I call her Little Hitlerette because she's dictatorial and totalitarianistic. And that has to be pointed out to her. Now, if one of you other men have the guts to point that out to her at a certain point, she'll begin to realize it.
Can I ask you a question? Are you hearing?
That's Alex.
Yeah, this is Alex. I can't remember your name. The brother that was just talking.
Solutions.
Oh, Solutions. Right. Let me ask you something. You know, a lot of women need to feel like the solution or the right thing has to come from them. So, do you, you know, even if you're right, you almost sometimes you have to make them feel like they came up with the idea themselves. And I'm just curious what your thoughts are on that. How do you approach that? You know.
Yeah, well, good question. Nothing is a substitute for directness. The language allows directness and fairness and being upfront and straightforward allows it. What men need to say to women directly is what they want.
I don't know how you do it. I couldn't do that.
Women multitask.
No, y'all crazy.
Women multitask. Don't we multitask well, the guys?
They're not crazy. Nope. They're not crazy. They're very, very focused, but it's usually selfishness and narcissism in which they're focused on. In other words,
are you talking about all women? Are you talking about all women or just black women?
I'm talking about the vast majority of American women. Now, when you break it out,
I'm not asking you for a clinical textbook answer. I got other people that want to get in and say something. My question is: Are you talking about black women or all women?
I just said American women, which black women are included. Now, black women have a hyper, infection of the particular malady. But sure, it definitely infects all
women.
And
black men are what?
Well, about 75% of black men are very good men, and they would have a relationship with the women if the women would act.
Black men are what?
Huh? About 75% of black men are good quality men.
But the women are narcissists.
They lack the Dracula and Satan character in men.
You know what? That is so off base.
Well, you're just unrealistic. You're impractical.
That is so off base.
You're impractical. You can't tell me why. You just said you won't open a conversation with a man. You won't
Listen, I say hello to every man that walks in my path. That doesn't mean I'm taking them home.
But do you let them know that you're open for conversation and socializing?
Do you understand? Is he missing something here?
I don't know, but I have to answer this for her because I've known her longer than all of you all did.
Answer for herself, so please.
No, because women don't do that. They're not going to reveal themselves.
Let me tell you the fallacy.
I mean, Tracy's very friendly to whoever
to
she meets.
I talked to Academy stands still long enough. You know, you don't understand.
Don't forget, women can talk you to death.
Absolutely.
Women to come up and open open conversation with them.
Solutions. Let me pick up some calls. But listen, you got to understand, there ain't a whole bunch of African-American born again conservative single men in their 50s with no kids that don't want none.
Well, that's a lie, Tracy. There are actually more good men out there than there are women because men are willing to do more for women. Men are willing to do more for women than women are for men.
You know,
and doing
you know
something
you
for a person
you
is
know,
an indication
solution.
Of one's care and
you
concern.
You know too much not to listen. I said there are very few African-American, conservative, born-again, black men over 50 who do not want children.
All those nebulous qualifiers? Why don't you just say a good quality man?
Because it makes no sense for you to walk up to me and be a liberal and think we're going to get together in the same house.
Well, what the hell are you talking about, liberal?
I told
y'all to exchange numbers offline. Take the call, Grace.
You know what? You know what, Michigan man?
Look,
this is going nowhere.
It ain't going nowhere.
You know, Michigan, you're right. You're right.
It ain't going nowhere.
You're right. Philadelphia, what you got to say about this?
Yeah, I think everything that Mr. Solutions is saying is true. I think a lot of black women are out of touch when it comes to dealing with black men.
So
and they
do I.
buy
I
into
ain't
what
say
the mainstream culture says about black men. And they tend to act like people like Oprah Winfrey and Alice Walker. And they tend to put black men down at every opportunity.
No, there's no doubt about it. But
the reason why that was like that, and how you could get that situation happening is because how we were treated in slavery
right.
is the only reference point that a black woman has to know how to talk to a black man, because we were taken away from our heritage and any way that things were in the old country.
So that's the problem, Jeff. What's the solution? What's the solution?
Well, I'm just saying, wait a minute, you have to get to the problem first. Now, it has to be instituted by the men in this society that they're not going to just like women say, I'm not going to be treated anyway. Well, then the men need to do the same thing. They need to say, you're not going to just treat me any old way because, you know, whether I did right, wrong, or what.
Well,
you know,
what
so,
Go
ahead, South Carolina, because I want to pick up too.
We got breaking news here. President Obama, in his speech, has announced that he will not budge on this tax idea.
Good.
We played it.
We played it live.
You played it? Okay.
We played it live. He said it. Go, come on Monday. Yeah, we're going to go past him because, you know,
okay.
This, they're going to have a cat fight anyhow.
Yeah.
No, they're lying.
They're lying,
and they're not.
Yeah, that's Michigan.
Hold on,
Michigan.
Okay. Hold up. I've got to pick up 716. 330-716, your mic is on.
What about when women do treat a black man well, like a king, and they just can't stand it because they're so used to being treated bad, and then they can't stand it, and they leave. So what do you have to say about that one?
The only problem with that is in history – man, I want you to co-sign this. Have you ever known of a situation like that where a black woman was treating a man very well unless he was rich?
Yes. Yes.
I didn't ask women. I asked black men.
Oh.
Not
black
ever.
Men on the run. Alex, can you remember it?
Not ever. I can't recall ever a situation.
Michigan man?
No.
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 Okay.
No. No.
Solutions?
You know what?
You've never
I'm
heard that
four,
happening, Jeff?
No, four counts, and here I am.
Can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
I keep hearing mute on my mic. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can.
Oh, okay.
You,
well, the thing of it is...
Solutions, I got too many people on my line. I just can't let you do a dissertation every time you go to speak.
I'm not doing a dissertation, Tracy. I'm sensibly answering the question.
It was a yes or no question.
What was the question?
I said, have you ever heard of a situation where a black woman was treating a black man like a king?
Yes,
in America.
Yes. Now, but what happened was
see,
is that she
in
was
America.
Treating...
That's
what
I'm
happened?
Saying, solutions.
She was treating the wrong man. She selected the wrong man.
Oh, yeah. If they get a dog, they'll treat him like a king because they're afraid of him. But they get a good guy, and they treat him like the dog.
Right, not a good guy. They don't treat him well. You're right.
So what you're saying is that all black women do not know how to treat a black man.
Almost. About the vast majority, about 95% don't, correct.
97.
Oh,
no.
My God.
That's not true.
97 or 98.
So then we can say that black men don't know how to treat us.
That's the truth.
Black men are shell shocked.
So how can you say 95% of
black
women do not know how to
treat? Let me explain this. May I explain it, Tracy?
No.
I know I have to get permission from Hitler.
No. No.
Hey, can I say something?
No.
Michigan. All right. Well, I think when you're talking about particularly black male-female relationships, the context that Jeff was talking about is very important as far as the history. And, you know, I heard Mr. Lou say, well, what's the solution? Well, in my opinion, I believe that the relationship between black men and black women will turn more when black men, one, there needs to be a good definition of what a black man is. It needs to come from men. And then, to carry that out,
It needs to come from men.
That's right.
You realize,
let me throw this into the mix.
Let me tell you something, what I have found. Our problem is we have been disillusioned for so long what men are and what women are. Because, see, there are a lot of good men, but they're not good husbands.
Okay.
And there are a lot of good women, but they're not good wives.
But here's what happens, Tracy. The context of what a good man is and what a good woman is done in the context of a culture.
Okay.
It ain't, you know, written down and then passed around to the world. The roles and relationships between men and women is done in a culture. So when you're talking about black men and black women not having a culture, well, you, if that's the case, and I think everybody here just agreed that we don't, then you can already see how you're finna bump heads.
So what I'm saying is, because what I'm saying is, you look at black, the black culture that we do and know that, because we got a culture. The problem is we have, when I say I'm looking for a 50-year-old man, that's a problem in itself.
Well,
and when I say that, because you have to understand, we have a lot of men out there, but I know 48-year-old men who bust a sag and listen to rap music and play video games all day long.
If you say bust a sag at 48,
well, if you have a man doing that, that's a sign of immaturity.
Hold on. You're right. What'd you say? 718?
716. How hard is it to treat anyone or someone that you're a significant other with respect and kindness? And everything else falls in place. If you just truly love the person and treat them with respect and kindness. That's not
I think it's more than that. Because it's more than that. Because respect and kindness is one thing, but then you come into cohabitation. And no matter who it is and who you love, you're never going to agree 100% of the time. Going back to what I said at the beginning of the show, because our problem in society is we don't know how to respect and disagree.
Tracy, my last statement, well, you cut me off, I was going to say was, Dr. Amos Wilson, he gives an example like this. What if black men got together and said one of the main criteria of being a black man is to own your own land? Wait a minute. He's making a point to say this. Then if you don't own your own land or you don't run your community, then how do you call yourself a man?
Right.
Is it some superficial thing that you got to the malls?
But I know a lot of men who own a lot of property, but they still don't.
You're missing the point. I'm saying when you define what a man is from a community setting, then men have to get about the business of making sure they're handling that.
Okay. Then we really got a problem because most of the land in the neighborhood is owned by women.
All right, then. So now that's what I'm saying. We're talking about this. The solution, when Mr. Solutions asked for solutions, I think, is there a universal definition of what black men
Howdy
put together and said, this is what a man is? That's yes or no. Have we done that?
No.
Okay. Well, we need to start there.
We can start there.
Hold on, Alex.
Just go ahead, South Carolina, because you were going to say something, and then I'm going to let Alex go.
We had that definition of what, and then had to define roles, the definitive roles of what a man and a woman was 50, 60 years ago, but we turned our back on it and walked away.
Hey, South Carolina, I know the definition of a man.
What?
And a good man, Barack Obama.
Yeah, that's what they see. I know of a good definition. It's in a song.
What?
I forgot who did it, but I like the Tom Jones version.
go ahead, Alex.
Well, I was just saying that, you know, there's a great amount of work done in this area by Dr. Emwalini Baruti. And so, you know, because we have to recognize the assault on black manhood,
right,
you know, the effeminization of black men and all that, to be able to adequately address what's necessary, the necessary response and activity of black men to force to thrive. And I would say that would be a place to start with Dr. Baruti's work. And he's somebody you should probably have on your show, Tracy. Because
Alex,
we have him
Alex,
here
get in touch with me so I can get his name and get the name of his book and find
yeah,
him.
Yeah, and I agree with that.
I can do that.
Michigan.
And what if you play with the water?
Who got that in the background?
That's funny.
What is all that noise?
Who is that? Who is that?
Not 269, so don't mute me.
Who's with the...
I know you love to mute
it
me.
It ain't me.
Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. Go ahead, Philadelphia.
Yeah, well, like I said before, I think that the society dictates what the cultural roles are for men and women in the black community. And the women are exalted, and that is a way for the mainstream community to control the men, because then the men have to be subservient to the women.
But you know what I've...
And so what happens...
That's so weak.
No, let me say this. Let me say what I have found out. And let me say this, and I mean this sincerely. There has been a, especially with integration and with Women's Lib, there has been an erosion of elevation of black men in society and a increase of promotion of black women. But what I have found is black women, when we get to where we are, we don't know how to bring our black men with us and then move them ahead of us. My uncle, and I use him as an analogy, my uncle was a huge baseball person. And when my aunt married him, he could not read, and she was a school teacher. And she worked with him and stood by his side while he worked in the mill and taught him how to read and taught him how to handle his business, to where in the end she quit work and he became the number one breadwinner because she knew how to promote him and then take the seat back. And I don't think we as women today know how to do that.
I think the women know how to do that. I'm being facetious when I say, because the black woman, there's no black woman to treat a black man correctly. That's not true. But it is true. Wait a minute. But it is true.
They wasn't talking. That's somebody screaming in the background.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But it is true when you get into relationship, that the black woman always defaults back to plantation master and let that man do anything or say anything that's about, and she's like, and that's how women are.
But
I don't know any that are. I've never known any to be any
not
different.
All women are that way, but a lot of men don't
know.
But
any
a lot of men don't know how to communicate with women either.
It's natural for that to happen.
It's natural for what?
For men to communicate with women.
No, it's
but
not.
It's unnatural for the man to want to communicate with the woman if she's there trying to beat him.
Because when I say this, if you don't make me feel secure in my relationship, my insecurity overtakes my attitude.
Yeah, but is my mic open?
Yes.
Yeah, Tracy, you need to be in therapy. That woman, rather, needs to be in therapy. That's not something the man can repair in her.
And that's what I'm saying to you. That's why I have a problem with you, because if you, instead of saying that you need to be in therapy, but saying I love you through and let's work this out together. See, there's
but
a
you won't
to...
allow that, because everything
no, no, no. There
a
is
guy
a better...
does,
see, you
the woman
my point.
Vetoes it. She reveals
when I'm
it.
I'm saying you have there is, you are a prime example of what I'm saying.
Right. Now,
there
see,
is a
there
better,
you go,
there
denigrating,
a,
but go ahead.
That's not, no, I'm just, that wasn't a denigration, that's just an honest statement.
What am I doing that's wrong?
There is a better way for me to tell you than you are a horse's batoot than for me to come straight out and tell you.
Well, I mean, but the whole thing is men don't do that. I mean, men don't, you know, unless you have an abusive man that something is wrong with, he's insecure with himself. They don't beat women up psychologically.
They do. They don't know.
Did you hear what I just said?
No. They don't know that they do.
Did you hear what I said? Unless you have an insecure man that does not have security in himself.
And what I said
he will not beat a woman up. That's not what men do.
And what I'm saying to you is a lot of times when men talk,
okay,
they don't know the words that come out of their mouth, the means, everything that they say that they do or that they love.
Yeah, but what women don't understand is when a man says something to a woman, saying it from a focused standpoint, and then she rejects everything he's saying. It's just like when women say, in order to date me, you've got to take me, you've got to wine me and dine me. And men say, we don't want to do that until we get to know you and know that you are meaningful. Now, how is that hurtful to a woman?
I don't know nothing about that.
Well, I don't know exactly what he meant either.
I don't know nothing about that.
You should learn about this because, look, meeting a person for the first time is very important. And if you don't do that correctly, you end up, again, with this balkanization. So when women put these, roadblocks and these admission fees that men have to pay to even get to know them, they're creating communication blockers.
Well, Mwalimu Baruti says, he does outline a few of those things. Of what in today's world, what, and you look at universally what men do, the role that men play around the globe, and then you look at the African American man inside of his community, and none of those things he's doing. So, if you started from that standpoint, I think this issue of, hey, let's go out for a cup of coffee, when you look at the percentages, if men are not functional and doing what it means to be a man, I just don't see how you're going to have functional relationships. So if the man is dysfunctional and the woman is dysfunctional, what is this talk about creating conversation when everybody's dysfunctional?
And let me throw this into the mix. We need to be honest about this conversation now. Society right now has taken conversation completely out the equation because we don't get to know you before we sleep with you. And right now everything is about the physical attraction and me having sex with you. And so there is really no courting and or communication and or dating. This is, let's get together, yeah, 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 and then we'll see if we like it. And then if we like it, we'll continue on, and we'll do this until we have a baby. Then when I have a baby and I have responsibility, then I figure that I don't like you, and then I've got to go do something else with you.
Well, Tracy, I promote the and you're right, a lot of that happens, but I promote the communication. Walk in the park, meeting on the walking track. One can meet at the library, but the communication, effective communication, is the way you work through these functions.
What I'm saying to you is men are not looking to walk with women on the track.
A lot of men are. You're wrong about that.
Women have to select the men who are.
That's the
listen
point.
Listen to what I'm saying.
I hear what you're saying.
By the time I get to the one that wants to walk, I've been used by the one that wants to screw.
That's your dysfunction.
Let me
say this. My dysfunction comes from where I come from.
Yeah, because but you got to repair
you,
that.
You,
I can't
shut
fix
up and
you.
Listen. I'm saying that what's going on is, one, we have women who are raising these people.
That's what I said. You're back to the community setting. That's what I'm saying. If the community is spitting out dysfunctional women and dysfunctional men, just two individuals walking on the beach or on the park does not fix the dysfunction.
It can fix dysfunction between those two if they communicate to consensus.
I can't get that far. Go ahead, Chicago. Go 518. Your mic is on.
I'm just really trying to understand what the issue is. I think what we're all saying, Mr. Solutions, you sound like you have a very, very tough issue with the fact that Tracy is not in a relationship, especially with her not being married. I think what we're dealing with here is the simple fact that Mr. Solutions, you call yourself Mr. Solutions, we can't address the problem if we don't agree on what the problem is. So if we don't agree on what the problem is, we can never get to a solution.
Right.
Well, what's the problem from your vantage point?
My problem is none of us listen. Men nor women listen, hear each other, and how they express each other. Now, Mr. Solutions, what you're talking about
and what Tracy's talking about, from a communication standpoint, that's an issue. Because maybe I am listening to you, and maybe you are communicating to me, but maybe you're just not telling me the things that you really, honestly feel I should know, or you're just holding back, or you're just lying. And so what happens in relationships, you're dealing with communication issues, honest communication issues, which causes a person to not want to listen, which causes a relationship to neither develop or be cultivated in marriage or in courting. And that's the issue we have. We don't listen. So I can always tell you from my vantage point what the problem is, but if you're not listening to me, and then if you do listen to me, you'll probably disagree and say, oh, you're wrong. Yeah, you're never wrong. Yeah, you're never right. That's just, you're off. But that's from my perspective.
Right.
So you can't tell me that I'm wrong from my perspective. I just don't see it your way.
Right. Hey, look at this here. If you look at it from this, again, I'm going to keep it in the community.
Ass kick. I'm sorry. You get your.
They can't do that?
Huh?
I turned it down.
You keep it
ahead,
in the community setting. If it means to be a man is to be the job creator in your community, and if what it means to be a man is to be able to defend the black woman or defend the community, and if what it means to be a black man is to provide a way for black women to educate black children, right? If all of these what it means to be a man, then what are we doing talking about having a relationship with a black woman when we haven't done any of those?
Let me tell you why. Let me tell you why those are issues. Even if that person is doing what the community says, what society says, what your neighborhood says is to be a man or a woman, even if they're doing that, guess what? This is the problem with our human nature. At some point, it becomes not good enough. So now I got to tell you, you're not doing enough.
That's a work in progress. That's a work in progress. That's things you work out in the community setting. That's why you have counseling.
Let me you got to understand something. We've got dysfunction in the family unit because fathers are not there to instill the self-esteem and the manhood into their daughters, into their sons. And because of the dysfunction of the mother and father unit, it causes dysfunction in the children unit. Because you produce after your own kind.
So should your attention being on fixing that dysfunction first?
Absolutely. But the problem that we have is we don't have any men in the homes raising their children. And a lot of times the children that they're raising are not theirs. And so this is perpetuated ongoing for us now several generations until what we have is what we have today. And we
so
have to.
What you're saying is this didn't just start today. It started 50 years ago.
We all know that, right?
But in doing this, getting back to this core, and this is inside of our churches, inside of our organizations, you see an abusiveness on both sides because no one knows how to cohabitate in an order that is predestined in a family unit. And because we are producing dysfunction.
You said it earlier, Tracy, that one of the problems that we have when you're talking about cohabitation is none of us knows how to agree to disagree. So that when I come to you and tell you, well, I don't like the way you make pancakes, we use that as a reason, as one of our fuels for the fire that's already fuming inside of us to say, well, this relationship isn't working. Let's call it quits. And we don't grow up.
But see, I can't grow up because I have never learned how to communicate effectively with a man.
You're back to no community.
I have not. I know, but I have not learned. And until I learn, and then I haven't learned how to communicate with a man because I've never seen communication between a mother and a father or a husband and a wife in my own setting. You said because even if I do, Jeff talks about women barking at them. And because women bark is because women bark because they see their mother bark. Or there was no father around that there was a conversation. You have to understand it just comes down the hill, and it keeps on going over and over again.
Tracy, let me defend marriage. Let me defend marriage. And this is a misconception that most people get when they say I'm ready to get married, or they say I'm not ready to get married. It works both ways. This is a misconception. you're not going to marry someone that you know. You're marrying someone you don't know, and you're going to get to know them over a period of time. And the problem with dating today is you think you can date for 5 to 10 years to get to know them, and then you decide you want to make a decision, well, I think we're ready to get married, or this relationship isn't working, we're not going to get married. But you wasted 5 to 10 years of your life. So what we've done today is we've messed up the whole marital concept. The whole marital concept is not to be secure in what you think you're the arrangement, the business arrangement you're getting yourself into, because the wedding vows cover all of that. The wedding vows are telling you, you don't know what you're getting yourself into, and when it happens, this is what love does. Love covers everything that you're getting ready to experience.
But what I'm saying is we have not, you know, if you don't understand I'm using the black man, because a black man has different dynamics than the white man. And society does not teach you how to deal with a black man coming home from work.
Tracy, listen, marriage affects everybody, just like the divorce rate is going
no.
up. It's because, and hold on, it's because marriage, it has no respect of color. Whatever you're going to experience in marriage is going to be experienced in the black man, the white man, the Chinese man, the Indian man, the European. Everybody's going to grow.
No. No,
this is what
I'm saying. This is what I'm saying.
But
there's a different dynamic between a black man and a white man, and we need to do a show on that, because
you're
there is.
You're talking about a resolve. You're talking about
No, listen to what I'm saying, because that's why even if there's divorce in the white community, and you have to realize, white men don't walk away from their children as readily as black men walk away from the whole relationship.
That ain't true.
That is true.
That ain't true.
When I say that, they may walk away, but they still come back to see their kids.
Well, and even if they do, the reason this is a non-issue because the culture picks up the slack. Or if that does happen, then a functional culture figures out a way how to pick up the slack. So
that is not true.
I said that is exactly what a functioning culture does. If you go look at any dysfunction that happens in the white community, any dysfunction, immediately the culture attacks it with its resources, with its experts, and with that, if it's a dysfunction, they say, hey, this is going to destroy us, we need to figure it out, they attack it.
Now, if you wrote, don't get me wrong,
if you're voting
in other cultures, but let's look at the Indian culture. Let's look at the Islamic culture. I mean, seriously, let's look at this. Let's look at, you know, because when we say white culture, you need to break it down into their own cultures, because they have a subdivision of their culture.
Tracy,
and
we can't do that, because all I'm saying is marriage, just like catching a cold is common to men, the things that you will experience are common. Now, what the resolve is, how a black man resolves a cold is possibly going to be different from a white man, but the truth of the matter is he caught it the same way.
Listen, I understand what you're saying, but what I'm saying is look at how we deal with this. Communication and the staying together. Yeah, they get divorced like we do, but why is it that we can have a man who can drop 10 seeds and 10 babies with 10 women and do it all within a 5-year time and no one say anything and it's okay?
Well, it's not okay, but I mean,
No.
Once again, you're dealing with a situation that is not, how can I say, was derived from our start here in America. Unfortunately, that's our only communicative culture that we have, is those relationships from back then.
And Tracy, if I can piggyback on what Jeff is saying, the truth of the matter is there were a whole lot of white men doing that 5 and 6 and 10 different kids from 7 different women back in the day. We're familiar with it because we talk to black people. But if you just, if you really get intimate with these white people, they will let you know, I've got about a
Well, we'll let
right
them worry
now.
About their own dysfunction, though.
So we got to understand, but we have to cohabitate and we need to learn because, remember, I said earlier, our problem is that we actually, what we do is we emulate what we see. So integration talks about emulating who they were instead of becoming who we are and learning from where they are.
But that doesn't stop a person from making mistakes.
This is not about a mistake. You have to understand how we eroded the family to the point where we can now have multiple. And when I say multiple, if you looked at the obituaries of these young men that are dying in the streets and of the children that they leave at 25.
Tracy, can I tell you a quick little simple story? There's a gentleman that I know that his last name, and this is an issue that I have, his last name is, we'll say his last name is Cartwright, okay? His father's last name is Jones. Now, all my time in knowing him, I'm under the impression he has his daddy's last name. I'm under the impression that he grew up around his daddy's people, the Joneses, only for him to reveal to me that, I never grew up around my daddy's people. I don't even have my daddy's last name. My last name is Cartwright, and that's who I associate with. My dad's last name is Jones, only for me to find out that he's related to some of the Joneses that I know. He doesn't even know who he's related to.
You're missing what I'm saying. I want you to understand the erosion of the family and the relationship. We know women who have been in the maternity unit in the room with the daddy fathering both kids. And this has gone on for years, but right now, the erosion of the family, you cannot raise a man and be a woman. In South Carolina, he and I, we've had this conversation before.
I don't believe that, Trace.
No. Listen, now you can raise men, but no one can tell a boy how to be a man like a man can.
Well, there's no doubt
that.
About it.
Even in the animal kingdom, you know, they said that if an animal, a female animal, sees a weakness in the male, she won't even make no babies with him. So the context of it is whatever it means for us.
Who do you blame for that in the animal kingdom? You blame the mother because let's talk about the lion. The lioness raises the males as well as the females.
Rick, hold up. I want to hear what he has to say.
Okay. So if in fact, like you said, a woman does not want a weak man, And if we're not going to take control of these communities, retake these businesses, take these schools or create these schools for our kids, make certain that we can protect these black women, they shouldn't want us.
Well, Tracy, can I tell you a story?
No.
We can run away from that.
Go ahead, Alex. Philadelphia, you're next. Go ahead, Alex.
Thank
you. Okay, Philadelphia, go ahead.
They're not all
crazy. Oh, yes, they are. Philadelphia, go ahead.
Yeah, well, it's true that there is a lot of weak men in the black community, but what's also happened is the men who are successful, they don't go back to the inner city communities and try to mentor a lot of these young black men that don't have fathers in the home. Now, I'm not saying all don't do that, but you don't have large groups of men doing that, and that's what needs to happen because there's a real disconnect in terms of class within the black community.
Can I say this? We need to go back and mentor the young ladies.
Yes, we do, because
the young ladies are out of order because there's no man speaking into their life. So she feels as though sex is now love, and she shows up with a baby too.
Well, of course,
Tracy, women lie.
About what?
They lie. Listen, all I know is you have these women today, and it goes back to biblical times. Women will manipulate and lie to get what they want, and then what happens? The man has to take the blame for when it goes wrong. Now, that's not fair.
you know what? I'll say it like this. like this. The women from of my generation, women are cunning, whatever they are, but you have to have, you really have to have a kind of wicked woman to be in that place.
But we're breeding wicked women.
Oh, we're breeding wicked everything right now because we have no standard on our society. And there's nobody, and there's no men standing up and being men in a society for anybody to see, long as they say bless me my four and no more, and they go home to the suburb and don't think about it.
Let me tell you what's going on right now. Right now, I'm looking for a sugar daddy without a, so I got a, I'm a baby mama. I'm gonna get my child support and move on. When I have this child, somehow. The standard of being, even being discreet in my own home, I'm not discreet. So my kids have more uncles than they have brothers. I got brothers and sisters, and they see uncle. Hold on, they see uncles. You gotta realize they see uncles leaving,
yeah,
and coming in the morning, at night, and at night.
Yeah,
on an ongoing. Hold on an ongoing basis,
and it ticks them off too.
And they get anger behind it.
Yes, they do.
They grow up and hold on, and they begin to emulate because they don't see a monogamous relationship between a man and a woman. And because they don't, they're raised in a dysfunction. That dysfunction perpetuates itself into the next generation, and it broadens itself even wiser and even wider. And if you look at our communities today, that's what we're breeding. Because when we talk about relationship, we have not learned how to respect one another to stay in a monogamous relationship, and now we just out for the kicks of it.
All right, Tracy, I like that. Well, here, let me tell you the story about a man that goes out and buys a lie detector robot.
Rick, I ain't got that long for a story. We are really on a tight schedule. Hold
it's
up.
It's real quick. It's on point. There's a man, he went out and bought a lie detector robot because he wanted to test it on his son. So he buys a robot, he goes home, and he talks to his son at the dinner table, says, son, where'd you go after school today? The son says, well, Daddy, I went to the library. The robot slaps him because he lied. He says, okay, Daddy, well, I went over to my friend's house. He says, all right, well, son, well, what did you do over your friend's house? He said, well, Daddy, we just watched some movies. We watched Toy Story. The robot slaps him again. He says, oh, okay, Daddy, well, we watched some porn. The daddy gets disgusted and outraged and says, son, I can't believe you did that. When I was your age, I never watched porn. Where the robot slapped the dad. Then the mom is sitting right there. She's cracking up. And the mom says, well, that certainly is your son. And the robot slaps the mom.
Rick.
There's a lie that's being told here.
Oh, well, you get like your brother now.
Jeez, old man, hold up.
You my boy. You know we still cool. You my cat. But you get like your brother there.
Solutions, go ahead. Solutions? He hung up on me. All right.
He hung up. See, I'm here. Now you.
No, Rick. No, 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 no. Alex, are you there?
Lie being told.
Alex, are you there? Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, I'm here.
Go ahead, Alex.
I was muted before, I'm muted myself. But I think that what we're talking about is important. But are y'all familiar with the five love languages and that book or whatever? Part of the problem is that some of the things that we receive as love or that we appreciate, other people don't appreciate, because people tend to do the things that they would themselves appreciate, you know. And I could tell you now that that's something that, like, even my wife and I, we work through, because she, you know, she feels love in by certain ways of, you know, maybe affirmations or whatever, and a man may, you know, be looking at, well, things that you may be doing, you know, like your service or whatever. And so you may be doing a lot. People may be, feel like they're doing a lot, but they may not be appreciated by the other person because that's not the way that they receive love, you know. So I think that there's that aspect of it, you know, when it comes to these relationships and our interaction with each other.
But again, until we actually see true interaction in a monogamous relationship with man and woman as it should be, we become dysfunctional as we go into our own dating situation. And then we take that into our relationships, and we take that into our marriages. And sometimes they work, and sometimes they don't. And it comes on the male and the female side.
You know, I think a lot of times women... I think a lot of it falls on women, though, because men can't choose women. Women always choose the man. And I can tell you that when I first moved to Orlando, I was driving an old 1997 Dodge Intrepid. Now, people looking on the outside, you know, people are like, oh, man, well, he's, you know, look what he's driving. But people who knew me, you know, I was an engineer working for Lockheed Martin and doing a lot of different, you know, it wasn't like I made that choice because I didn't want to spend the money, you know. But now that I'm married, now I drive this truck, and I have women just throwing it at me. But it's like,
let me tell you why, real quick.
It's insane. But what I'm saying is that they made that judgment based off of what they saw. You know what I'm saying? And so now I'm married now. I'm not looking at. I ain't looking for any of that. But you know, and I'm a little more established, and But, you know, now people see that, women see it, and now they want to, you know, now they're throwing it.
But now, can I tell you all a secret, and it's real talk? Married men have a better look. There's just something about it. I kid you not. I ain't lying. Married men look better. I ain't lying. I'm being real with y'all. And they're going to take my girl card from me for telling the truth. But I've seen dudes.
You sound like you're on your way to cheating.
I ain't on my way there. But listen to what I'm saying. I know young men. I know men who were one way when they were single and got married. I'm like, what the heck happened to you? Married men have a look that's attractive. Don't ask me what it is. I don't know. But it's the truth.
That's not always true, Tracy.
It's always the truth.
Many women say that a married man is more attractive because, one thing, she doesn't have to keep the relationship if she doesn't want it. If she's not looking for long term, you know, they're probably more game, and that's what they'll tell you. And this is barbershop talk, you know. So you have to look at that.
Well, I think if we took a poll, if we took 10 men, 5 married, 5 not married, and they were well-groomed men looking their best, I can't say that the attraction is going to be on what they know about them being married or not married. I think the attraction is always based on what you look like.
No, but baby.
It's on what you look like.
As a woman, I'm trying to tell y'all the truth, and y'all won't. That's just what I said earlier.
I'm listening to you. I'm trying to tell you.
There is something about, I kid you not, and I would go a little bit deeper, but it's too deep to go into 5 minutes of the show. But there is a spirituality that comes with that, with what I'm saying.
I hear what you're saying, Tracy, but attraction.
You ain't trying to hear me.
No, it's all in your outward appearance more than what you actually have on the inside.
Remember, Remember, women are not visual. Men are visual.
Women are visual.
Women are not visual.
Some women are, young women especially.
But when we say visual, but women are not visual like men are. Men are visual entities.
Women are visual.
Solutions.
I just didn't know. Let me know. I'll answer this for you. I can answer this.
Oh, go ahead and answer this solution, and you only got 2 minutes.
This is for you what Tracy is unable to. What it is when the man is unavailable, okay, because women are ego-driven, and they want that which is unavailable to them. So that's why a married man looks better to a woman than an unmarried man, because he is off-limit.
He doesn't know that.
Thing of it is, Tracy did know it. She said she knew the men who got married. And the other thing is, remember, women do have they sort of have a sixth sense, but that sixth sense drives them to evil. They sense the aura of a man who is unavailable, and that's where they want to venture to. He was close to it, but it's both of those, but all of them are inappropriate and dysfunction. The standards that women use in selecting men. That's why I offer be upfront, straightforward, woman up, and just start talking to men and get to know a man who's compatible with you.
I don't have time for a soundbite. Hold on. 831, your mic is on.
Okay, Tracy, you are my real true girlfriend. You are 100% right. Married men are better looking.
They do.
And I have been married for a long, long time. And I know, and I can be anywhere, and I can see a married man, and he doesn't have to tell me he's married. But as I find out, he will be married, and he is better looking.
And I'll tell you all this, and I'll tell you guys this for real. What happened? I don't know what it is, but there's a married look that comes with men, and
it's a commitment. It's a commitment in their face.
It's really strange, but it's like.
Yep.
People that you would never pay attention to give them the time of day.
What
give
it
them,
is yes. is somebody else chose you, so therefore I think you might be a good choice, and so therefore you deal. That is women gravitate to power, and whatever they perceive as power is what they're gravitated to. Some of it is the football player. Some of it is the rich banker or the settled man.
I like the rich banker.
Contrary to what Tracy just said, women are highly visual.
WSLM AM 600. We're at the end of the week. God bless you. Have a good weekend. Don't forget that this weekend we will be picking up, having you drop off stuff in different collection points. Mahoning County Republican Party, Charlie Staples, Fit Family, Nimmons IGA. We are taking things next weekend to New Jersey, and we're going to help the victims there. God bless you. Have a good weekend, and we'll see you on Monday.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren, the home for afternoons with Tracy and friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
New Airborne Hot Soothing Mix with 14 vitamins, minerals, and herbs, including vitamin C, vitamin A, vitamin E, zinc, and echinacea.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger.
American people voted for action. Not politics as usual. You elected us to focus on your jobs, not ours.
President Obama says that's what he intends to do for the next 4 years.
This is Ann Compton at the White House. In the first exchange of fire following the election, neither side is offering to cave. President Obama brought in cheering supporters to hear him vow he will not allow the wealthiest taxpayers to continue paying lower tax rates. Republican House Speaker John Boehner, whose party won continued control of the House, declared he is willing to negotiate, but not on any tax increase.
The goal to keep the economy from veering off the so-called fiscal cliff, which would result in higher taxes for all Americans and deep spending cuts, unless the President and Congress hammer out a budget deal by the end of the year. They'll be meeting next week. We're learning of a departure in the Obama administration. ABC News has confirmed that CIA Director David Petraeus is resigning. The last number on your license plate determines if you can buy gas today in New York City.